It's the Tiltcast, episode 104, the 104th episode. Yeah, we've been doing this a really long time, so that's the title we came up with. So today, we're going to be talking a lot about Borderlands, we're going to be talking a lot about Resident Evil 6 and various controversies, as well as some things about Steam and Cliffy B and a few other things, so stay tuned and listen in.
And welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. What is this, 104 now?
Something.
Seriously?
100, past 100.
Well, we fired some people. They're gone. We got rid of Holly because she's too short. We got rid of Rex because he's too fucking drunk. And now it's just me and Justin doing the Tiltcast.
Yeah.
So I know all you fanboys who like to look at his boobs are happy as shit. I'm going to grow my pubes back and we're going to post more pictures of those. But over here we do have some guests. We have Jason.
What's up, guys?
Okay, he hesitated. I was going to nod.
He's about to take a drink.
Let's just be like, yeah.
I was about to hit the nectar of the gods. And
there we go. Mountain Dew. That's what I got in mind. So. And then we've got Rusty.
Yep.
Or Russ. Or
yep.
Rue. Rue, like RuPaul.
We're not going with Rue.
No, Rue.
No.
Can we call you like Rufy, like Rusty the Roofer? How about Rufy?
Ten Roof Rusted.
Can we call you like, no, I mean like the drugs, Rufy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like, I would just call him Russ Roof. So.
We'll figure out nicknames for this is all over.
Yeah, there we go.
Hopefully.
Anyways, so these are two gentlemen who are joining us tonight. This looks like an Aryan convention. It's going to be awesome. It's like three guys in here with shaved heads, pretty much.
Well, my head's not shaved.
No, yeah, it's really short.
It's naturally getting that way.
Yeah, it's naturally getting that way.
Yeah. I'm surprised to have hair.
Yeah, there you go. So, we're going to run into this now.
Yeah.
What have you been doing, Justin?
A whole lot of work. This was my 11th day straight, so now it's time for video games and drinking and...
Are you off for the weekend?
I'm off
till your weekend.
Yeah, well, this was my half weekend.
Yeah.
So, I have Friday off.
Nice.
And we recorded this late. Holly was sick last night, and then shit just happened, so... Yeah.
Well, she had plans to go to the fair tonight, so...
Yeah, and then for all of you that don't know, Rex teaches Kenpo on Thursdays, and so he wasn't able to join us tonight.
Yeah.
So, didn't want to shake his world up too much, and we've been talking about for a while maybe having like guests on every week. So, just people we know that play video games, that enjoy video games a lot, that want to do a little bit of podcasting, fuck around with us, and have fun.
And after 104 episodes, everybody needs a night off.
So, yeah, we're going to start rotating people in and out.
We should actually have one where we just all take the night off and have nothing but guests on. And I'll hang out and just watch them do it to make sure it's done right. It would be funny.
And Rusty and I are just the first two losers with no life who could come on short notice.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Yeah, Facebooked you today.
Kind of insulting,
but
yeah.
Yeah, Justin Facebooks me at like 11 and says, "Hey, dude, you think you and Rusty could come over for Tilt?
Tonight.
Okay. With round what time?
Very little notice. Pretty much, hey, do you want to be on a show? Yes, I'm driving back from my appointment. Great. What was this about again?
There you go.
So I appreciate you guys coming in on such short notice.
Yeah.
Hang out with us and be assholes with us.
Yeah.
And have some fun.
Yeah, most definitely.
But yeah, so back to what I was doing. Nothing really interesting. Nothing real crazy. Oh, what did we do Friday?
What did we do Friday?
We set up in the mezzanine.
What?
Oh yeah. I forgot. We went to go see Smashing Pumpkins.
Yep.
And we set up in the VIP area, and it was sweet.
It was funny because aside from us, there were two other people that were fairly young, and the rest of the people were
middle aged,
dressed up.
Yeah. And Juliet Lewis was there, making out with chicks.
It was pretty fun.
It was awesome.
I miss
so. That. The all middle-aged swingers at the concert, I take it?
Probably.
She is at this point.
Nice. Now, actually, well, the girl she met was actually a girl she knows from here, so it wasn't just some random chick.
So, oh, well, that helps.
It was a quick little make-out, just a hi, and then they went on their way.
Just a hi,
they're
done.
It's a five-second friendship.
That's how I say hi. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, what's up, Trent?
That's why I kicked you in the fucking nuts. So, that's what happens. When Justin's daddy tongue comes out.
Daddy's home.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we went to go see the Smashing Pumpkins on their Oceania tour.
Yeah, and they played the whole album, and then they did a bunch of oldies.
Well, they did like Space Odyssey by David Bowie. It was the intro into all the other stuff, which was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
And then they played some B-side stuff. They played like Tales of Scorched Earth. They played Disarm. Well, Disarm's not really B-side, but Mayonnaise.
But they played Ava Door. They played Mayonnaise, which is what I was hoping for. And they played it, and it rocked. So
the Ava Door cover. It was in electronics, so it was different from what I'm used to hearing.
Yeah, they took out all the keyboards, and it was just
kind of a raw song.
Yeah, it was really good. And they also did Bullet with Butterfly Wings. They did Zero. A lot of Melancholy and Infinite Sadness, actually.
Yeah. I was pretty okay with it. I think the thing that I like the best about it is, for all the rest of you that are going to be seeing them, if you're Pumpkins fans, they're just going to be... This was their pre-show before they started their arena tour.
Yeah, basically.
So they played at a place that barely holds over 1,000 people, if that. And me and Trent were in the VIP area, which was really lucky. Like I said on my last week's show, I just barely got those tickets.
Yeah, and we had a private bar and a private bathroom, and everybody was really nice up there, and...
The private bathroom is probably the best part.
Nice. Yeah. Where was it down at?
Oh, it's actually in the very far back at Cane's.
Oh, yeah, it was at Cane's,
but the VIP is like right.
Yes, so you've been up there before. It's excellent.
Yeah.
And so if you look up at where the chandelier is when you walk in, it's straight up. That's the mezzanine. Yeah. It's not that big.
Yeah, there's a big like.
No, there's only space for like 15-20 people up there.
Something like that.
If that.
Yeah, about 20-25, something like that.
Well, capacity I think's at 30, but I mean it's that'd have been packed as shit.
Yeah.
So, but we had a lot of fun.
I wish the main floor was fucking packed as shit.
The main floor is always overpacked, don't
it? No, this is actually the fullest I've seen.
It was like sardines. Like, would you go out to go? We'd go out and have a cigarette or whatever, and we'd walk through, and it was just like it'd take us 10 minutes to get across the floor just to go outside.
Yeah.
So, but
that's why they need to have a smoking balcony where you can go outside and smoke.
It was interesting though, because like I'm realizing how old I am now, and like you go to this show and you expect. You go to shows when you're a teenager, you see a lot of teenagers and people in their mid-20s, early-20s, whatever. Yeah. And I went to the show, when me and Trent were up there, there's a lot of gray-haired dudes, way more gray than me and you are.
Yeah.
Dude, well, that's like, what was it?
It was in their 50s.
People rocking out with
it was like, sometime a couple years ago, saw Time Life with a Nirvana, with a couple Nirvana songs on it. I'm like, shit, I'm old now.
Yeah, the Time Life.
No, oldies, the greatest hits.
Well, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, when the Pumpkins came out, these guys were probably in their late 20s, early 30s, because the Pumpkins have been out now 23 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
they've been there a while.
I'm really getting old. but we had a lot of fun at that show.
It was a blast. It was definitely a good show, and I'd definitely go see him again. So.
Yeah, it was my third time.
Very much worth it, and Billy Corgan was funny as always.
Yeah, he had some.
Is when he talks, but
he told a few stories in between, and
the Australia story.
Well, that's really because he sounds like Rex, so you know.
That's me. Yeah, but he had some really good stories, and the backup band was really good. The new bassist, the bassist chick's fucking wicked hot.
Yeah, I don't know who she was. Was it the girl from Siamese Dream cover?
Yeah, I think it's the one that they did the story about on that. That supposedly was the girl from the Siamese Dreams. And then the opening band, that UME band,
those were
Sonic Youth-ish and all that was pretty good.
Yeah, so we had a blast at that. I mean, I just didn't have any time to do anything in between. So
yeah,
getting girlfriend time in, making sure that. That's good, and then also making sure that I got some game time in, and I did, game-wise, Borderlands, of course.
Yeah.
Borderlands has been a lot of time.
No, you guys, I've seen you guys on there a lot.
That's where I've been cracking out, it's Borderlands.
What are you playing, Rusty?
Gunzerker. Two guns. All the time, pistols, for sure. There's actually a tree in there that goes pretty much all full-out pistols.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the most overpowered thing in the game.
Do you regen ammo, or...?
The Gunzerker always regens ammo, gets 50% of his health back every time he does it, so that makes you... When you get those oh-shit moments, you press the button, and you go to town. But what really happens here is if you rock out with pistols, and you overkill something, it adds all the damage that you overkilled to the next shots.
So if you overkill, just go ahead and turn and shoot.
You keep firing and you keep building up this extra damage. Now, in the game, you get like 5 digits normally in for damage. It's like 5-digit numbers. You get up to 99,000 something. When you crit with that, those skills, you get up to 100K, and it just comes up with 100 with a red K, and things fall over.
Nice.
You know, and I guess there's a couple, you know, things that you can get that are game changer skills that they put in there. One of the game changers for the Gunzerker is that the last bullet of your magazine does 400% more damage.
So yeah, he's proud of his money shot.
That's the name of the skill. It's called Money Shot. Nice. And you didn't think it's going to be all that great. I mean, one bullet extra damage. I really look forward to that last bullet. Because that's where all the big numbers happen. Now, if you crit somebody with the money shot in the face, I'm just saying.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Good man. So, have you guys been co-oping a lot? Or I was going to jump in with you at one point. I was like, you're way ahead of me.
I think I'm like 44 or something like that.
We pretty much destroyed it together, but I've been splitting my time with solo and co-op with him, co-oping with my wife. So, been running a commando and a assassin. So
I've gotten up to like level 5 the assassin. After a while, are you doing the snipe skill or are you doing the melee skill?
No, I went straight down the melee tree and... Dude, down the money tree makes this melee tree makes deception all that much better. You get backstabbed.
Don't you get like something where like when you stab them or whatever, you can regen stealth faster or something like that? Or
it actually stacks on top of your time in deception. So you get down to a second, you melee something, it will stack on top of it. So you're in deception longer. Literally, I can go into hordes now and just deception and melee the whole horde long.
Did you change up your controller for that? Because I always have a hard time just clicking stuff to melee.
No.
Well,
no.
You guys play a lot of Call of Duty.
I'm used to Call of Duty and backstabbing people with with the joystick on that.
Train our fingers back into first-person shooter mode, we played a lot of MW3 to kind of get back into the
feel the chaos of control. That is.
That's helped a lot because in MW3 I pretty much pick up an akimbo weapon and go crazy. So
plus, that's probably the best thing that Gearbox thought of doing with the first game and keeping in the second one was they pretty much kept the control scheme like Call of Duty, which most of their fan base is coming from the Call of Duty fan base.
I don't know totally about that because I'm one of those people that's not a Call of Duty fan at all. To me, it was more like an RPG shooter. So like the cast that we know, one of the people that me and Trent have been on a couple of the shows called The Carousel, like John would not play Call of Duty to save his life ever. But he's a huge Borderlands fan. Same with Scott, which has been on the show for a long time, too.
Well, the reason I say that is generally you have your first-person shooter group, and they're going to stick all first-person shooters. That's the beauty of Borderlands, though. It expands out. Mm-hmm. It's got those RPG elements. But really, it transfers. Most Call of Duty players are going to take time out to play Borderlands.
They're
going to get bored.
You've got the loot whoring, you know where you can go and find the new shiny gun that does what you want it to do, and then you fight for it. And that's always a dick move, but anywho. But it's kind of a crossover. I think of it as a crossover. You take like a Call of Duty type first person shooter. You throw in the loot system from like Diablo games and you put it into an interesting story and throw a little humor on there, and that's what you get from Borderlands. But you know, I play the game for Claptrap. I'll admit it.
Though Handsome Jack has become a close second. I gotta say.
Like, have either of you beaten the game yet? Like, you probably have since you're because I'm like at 37 on Siren going straight down the I think the Harmony path, mm-hmm. wearing just like total support.
Yep.
And I pretty much got that almost maxed all the way out. So it's, I think I maybe need like another 6-7 levels to get everything maxed out to top.
Yep.
And the reason I went ahead and did that was because I was like, well, shit, you know, with the respec thing, now I can just go off and pay, get my points back, and go off and do what I want later to check that out. So that way, whenever I start another, if I want to start another Siren character, so that way I have different ones spec differently for what mm-hmm. I need. I at least know what I'm getting into. What was it? Handsome Jack, though, it's like, I can't say too much since they haven't beat it, but he's a real dick.
He is an asshole.
He is a fabulous douchebag.
It gets worse as you find out more of the story. It gets really, and you're like, what a fucking ass stain, man. He is a total prick.
Probably the best thing, and I'm probably going to spoil something for somebody out there, but you grab the voice box for Handsome Jack to get into one of the levels.
Yeah.
Axton grabs that voice box, and the first thing he says is, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Great, now I sound like a douchebag.
Yeah.
that probably sums it up right there.
I think they do the same thing with the Siren, something similar to that. So, and it's a fun game. I mean, that entire city area where you do that one. It's fun as shit. Opportunity is really fun. It's like jam-packed full of fucking enemies, though. It's just constantly wave after wave. Especially if you do that statue side mission.
Yep.
Oh,
and
yes.
I believe that. Because I was at like level something, at like level 30.
Yep.
And I got through the main part. I was like, fuck that statue thing. I'll come back. Went up like 3 levels, got a new gun, came back and just annihilated the shit out of it. At that point, that makes a big difference. It wasn't so much the levels. It was the gun.
Really. Yeah.
I started saying, that whole mission, the only thing kept me from my constructor from getting destroyed was going down the gorilla tree for the
I go down commando. The gorilla tree quite often.
The gorilla tree is beautiful.
But it's a fun one. I just like Claptrap whenever you try to destroy the first one. It's like you win this round and end up an object. It's just fucking fun. But Claptrap's humor is great in it. The one thing I felt was kind of missing is I remember like when you play stuff like, you know, Zombie Island, all that crap, you know, when you get...
They gotta have something as good as Zombie Island, because that is amazing.
That was great.
But
when you get the cue cards that pop up when a new enemy shows up, and they have his name, and then they have a cute little funny, like,
yes,
really fucking funny thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think with Dr. Ned, they had one. He's like, he's not Dr. Zed, we swear to God, or something like that.
Right.
Or he's Dr. Right. Dr. Ned, I think more fucked up than Dr. Zed, or something like that. And it was funny as shit, and you're like, that's funny. And then, like, the giant Skag, the were-Skag, you have to take out. That was fucking hilarious with this little cue card. The cue cards aren't as funny this time around.
Yeah.
No, they aren't. I mean, Nox's was just priceless.
Yeah. I think Boom and Boom. What was it? Boom and
Boom. Boom and Boom, yeah.
Yeah,
boom.
Theirs is funny because one
boom,
of them is
doing
the pose, the other one flies up doing the pose with a jetpack. That was fucking hilarious.
That was.
Yeah.
Tina is probably the best character out of them.
Yeah.
I think besides Claptrap, there's Tina. And then there's the dialogue between Lilith and Roland. And that's one of the things that I'm not...
No, they're little weird...
Yeah, they're the weird love thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing I did like, is I like the way they incorporated the original 4 characters back into the story. And, you know, because...
It actually gave you some background that you were starving for in the first one.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, on the story itself, there was a lot more of it this time around. It's a lot more cohesive in the first game.
Well, it's like as Maya, when I'm running around inside of the animal reserve, which is one of the levels we get to later on, I find audio tapes of myself, like the Siren's character, explaining her past. There's like 4, 5, 6 of them that explain where she came from and what the whole deal was with her. But I also found some of like Axton, there's one for him. That explains him leaving the military because he was bored as shit with it. And then later on, I find another one that's of Zero. I explain a little bit about him. So it's kind of cool that it's not just you're learning about yourself, you're also learning about a little bit about the other characters.
Yeah.
And
also
the originals.
The thing about Zero's is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Handsome Jack says, where in the hell did he come from?
Yeah.
Angel's just like, I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll say, whenever you find the audio recording of, like, for Zero. She's like, he's looking to hire, Jack is looking to hire assassins. He's like, I guess just give me some more assassins. And he's like, but don't give me those weird, mysterious ones. And Crash goes, well, here's one who's very qualified, named Zero. And he's like, oh, I fucking hate that when they have that weird name. And they always, like, go off and they say something really just, like, stupid and mysterious. And then they suck. And she goes, here's a video clip of him doing shit. And he, like, kills all these guys. He goes, like, all right, get him. Yeah, he's actually pretty good at it.
Did he just speak in haiku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was fucking funny. Yeah, but... It's a really solid game.
And that's probably a great addition, is the haiku pop-ups in front of Zero's face whenever you're doing shit. Yeah,
I haven't seen that yet. That's fucking funny. Yeah, but they definitely did a lot of fun stuff and a lot of nice Easter eggs. Like the Minecraft Easter egg is a lot of fun. It's a bitch to break all those blocks, but it's still fun. Fighting the overpowered creepers that'll wipe out your entire shield and most of your health.
Yep.
Probably one of the frustrating things is finding all of the vault symbols in each area.
There's like three or so in each one.
Yeah.
There's five in Sanctuary alone.
Yeah, that's a nice little treasure hunt for people who are perfectionists, which I unfortunately am. So I'll eventually go back and do it again. I'm waiting. So I'm waiting until I'm high enough level where I can just run into some of the really shitty places like Caustic Caverns and not really have to worry about it too much, because right now the biggest piss off are Threshers.
Those
things are
Threshers are evil.
Yeah
they piss me the fuck off, because
they'll actually suck you back towards them and then you just take constant damage. But the great thing is with the Siren, if I use my phase lock with the smaller Threshers, the regular ones, I actually kill them instantly pretty much.
Nice.
Phase lock, they just boom and they explode. The bigger ones, though, those I have to pull out my shotgun and just hope to God I can drop them before I lose my second wind, which does happen sometimes. But I love Siren because it's like a one-man army when you're on single player. Because I can walk in, phase lock a fucker, which I'm getting healed from anyways, while I'm killing him, I get a health stream that comes out as well. So I can just take the big badass and just phase lock him, kill all his little friends, and then go off and do whatever I want. And having a nice singularity grenade where I can throw that out and it just sucks everything in, and just fantastic sniper. I got a really strong ass sniper rifle right now, and my shotguns are amazing in the new game.
That's gotta be the one thing about the new game that I love: more automatic sniper rifles.
Yeah.
I was lucky as shit to find two in the first one.
Yeah
I like the I have a Slag automatic rifle. It's like a 3-shot burst. Which is kind of nice. I almost don't even need to aim.
Yeah, that thing dulls a whole lot of 3-shot bursts in this game. Yeah. It's
crazy. Even with the shotguns. Like, I remember in the first game I had a shotgun that, like, I think expelled like 6 rounds at once. And then you'd have to keep reloading, but it would dish out a fuck ton of damage. But now that they introduced Slag, I can use a Slag pistol, shoot them, get Slag on, switch to my shotgun, which I think does 3 rounds at once, and just boom, they're dead, pretty much. They're gone.
Yeah, Slag is a great addition to the game. They definitely separated the brands in difference of weapons.
Oh, yeah, between Hyperion and...
like what they used to work.
Yeah, I'm a Jaegers kind of guy.
Yeah.
Your specific weapon...
Pretty much all of the guns that I play with in any of the other games are the single-shot rifles or something like that. And you can pick up the Jacobs pistols, and they just, you just go to town.
Yeah.
You can pull the trigger as fast as you want, and you can really control those. So, and they have the highest damage of all the pistols.
Right.
You add in all the bonuses with money shot, of course, you get these crazy numbers coming out of the gun.
Yeah.
Per shot, so.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And the one thing I also like is, like, the difference in not just how it's going to handle the way of how fast you can shoot it and what it's going to be able to do. It's also just the feel of the weapon between the six shooters, the pistols, the automatics. Because
More defined now.
Yeah, because I'll find a gun and be like, that's really excellent damage. It's like an extra 500 than what I have now, but if it doesn't handle right, I'm just going to sell it. So I'll pull it out and try it out, and I'll be like, yeah, it's a good gun, but fuck it, I want my other one.
Yeah, you're right. Definitely in the first game, there wasn't much difference, for example, in feel between repeaters and SMGs.
Yeah.
You know, and really, revolvers were the only way you got a different feel for anything. This game, it's no matter what gun you pick up, it feels different.
Yeah, especially with the assault rifles and Well, not assault rifles, sorry, with the SMGs. Assault rifles, yeah, because I love the assault rifles now. They're basically just fucking grenades.
Well, you got the grenades and the rockets.
Fucking grenade. Yeah, it's just a fucking, it's an assault rifle that does, like, I think the base one I have now is like 1,500, no more than that, it's like 3,000 damage. And all it does is just lobs out fucking grenades that explode on impact, and I'm like, that is a fucked up assault rifle. But it's got the nice rail that goes all the way back, so you just watch each of them come out until you reload, which is pretty awesome. So, and then I also had one that was basically just rockets that would fly.
Yeah.
So.
And the shotguns are a little bit more varied as far as the style.
Yeah. It's also like, you know, the difference between if you have one that's got a zoom on it, which with a shotgun, to be honest with you, I prefer that it doesn't have a scope on it because that gets annoying.
Yeah, because you use it short range anyway.
Yeah.
Though I have one that locks on and seeks.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I don't mind the shotgun with the scope because I just, it's got like a 6-shot burst and it seeks, so I just lock on and then fire 6 shots.
Yeah, see, I had one of those that just dropped robots fucking left and right from a distance. It didn't matter how far away they were. Well, within reason, but it's like,
I thought you meant literally dropped robots.
Yeah, I dropped robots. But no, I just sit there from like a decent distance away and just pull that fucking out and shoot one of those seeker drones or shoot one of the Hyperion bots and just boom, they're down. Dead. So, but yeah. So we all love Borderlands.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Full of love.
Right? Yeah.
Like, well, Jason is.
Gearbox is a group of geniuses.
Well, I'm hoping they continue that with Alien Colonial Marines when it comes out, because I'm a huge Aliens fan.
Dude, everything I've seen looks...
It looks badass. Awesome. It looks badass, and I am looking forward to the multiplayer, because I got Apone and Hicks and all that in there, and it'll be awesome to play Hicks. You know, and just the idea that they actually brought in the versus mode where you got aliens actually, you know, and it looks like they did it right where it's more objective based. They're not all held out one area. You're actually making your way across the map to different objective points to get the fuck out of there. So it makes it easier for you to stalk them and kill them. So definitely a highlight I'm looking forward to. Yeah. So, but let's see what else have you done anything else?
My downloaded Torchlight. Haven't even got a whole lot of time to play it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Torchlight 2. Played the crap out of Torchlight 1. I lost many, many hours to that game.
Yeah.
So far, I'm liking it a little bit better than Diablo, and it's just because it feels like there's a little bit more variety.
Yeah.
I never even finished fucking Diablo.
I did. I finished Diablo 3. If I see Diablo 3, I think I'm going to rush. I hate that game. I've got a giant Diablo 3 standee in my room. I went, pre-ordered the game, got it, won this giant Diablo 3 standee. It looks amazing. Played the game for a couple weeks until the real money auction house came around. And immediately when I saw that come around, I just lost all interest in the game. You know, it just struck me wrong.
But you don't want to make money.
It feels kind of dirty.
Well, it does. Dirty, yeah. I mean, you know,
it's Blizzard. It's not a free to play. Why the need for a real money auction house?
It wasn't that. When the real money auction house came out the first day, I was looking at it and I was looking at what people were charging for, you know, the items. I mean, these crap items are putting up for $3 or $4, and people are actually, you know, buying the crap out of this. It just struck me wrong. That's not how I want to play, you know?
And it's stuff that you could have invested an hour or two farming to get.
Yeah. It's just,
and you're going to pay $4 for a single item.
I mean, really? I understand why they did it. I mean, with all the
eBay shit from sites, like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right. You know, the third-party sites and, you know, people getting scammed and stuff like that. They're trying to alleviate that. But it just still feels wrong, you know? I mean, I just don't want that part in the game. The original auction house with the, you know, in-game money, that was perfectly fine with me.
So in simpler words, folks, he feels it takes the purity out of the Blizzard game.
Well,
out of a demonically based video game, it takes the purity out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes the virginity out of the game.
Yeah, out of the horror of a game.
Yeah.
I think really my only bitch with Diablo is just how cookie cutter the skills feel.
Yep.
The skill trees don't feel like you got enough rut. It doesn't feel like you can really delve deep into it. When I first started playing, it was like, oh, this might be Game of the Year material. Ooh. It's really tightly balanced. It plays really good. Yeah. It's pretty fun. And then the more I got in my trees, I was like, I don't have a whole lot of choice. Well, and that's a big deal to me. And that's with Borderlands. Torchlight 2 especially, like, there's ridiculous amounts of choice. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that that's what people want. And I think five of the guys that work for Runic actually were on the Diablo 2 team. So they kind of know what that makes that kind of game work. Yeah. And it's basically the same kind of game. It's just...
Well, and I think part of that's your expectation that Blizzard's going to give you more options after 10 years with everything that they've got now. And
you'd think after...
it just doesn't deliver.
No, it feels like they took... When I started playing, because I used to play Warcraft as well, and it feels like they took Warcraft, Diablo, and everything, and just melded the skill tree into your likeness, because you've got similar skills that you had on Warcraft showing up in Diablo that do the same exact thing, like with Rend when you're playing.
Yep.
And that was one that wasn't in Diablo 2. You had Zeal, which was a great one for the Paladin Diablo 2 that I love the shit out of, because I just fucking level that fucker up and just whack, just hit like five guys at once. Bam. I used to love that shit. And they don't have that because I got rid of the fucking Paladin class. He's gone, which kind of made me angry. But I think they were supposed to bring some Paladin Knight or something out with the DLC.
I don't know what's going to happen with DLC. Maybe when DLC comes back out, we'll play it again. But
yeah, I thought they were bringing some type of Paladin type character that wasn't really a Paladin. I think it's a Knight is what it is. And it's supposed to have Paladin powers, but it's probably not going to be anything close to what Diablo 2 has. It's probably going to be more close to what
Warcraft
carries. And that pisses me off. I want to play WoW. If I want to play WoW skills, I go play WoW.
Exactly.
You know? I was hoping for something more original and unique and diversified with Diablo 3. And where I got in it, I wasn't happy with the whole rune system with you choose your thing, and then your two actives, and you got one passive and stuff, and mm-hmm. it just didn't feel like it was diversified enough. So.
Yeah, and well, as you get later into the games, like if you go into the Nightmare mode, it's mage heavy. You know, the only way you can survive is if you're a mage, because you can time stop and slow time and stuff like that. If you're a barbarian, you're playing Nightmare, you're dead. You just walk in, the first zombie hits you, you're dead. Okay, well, let's go play another game.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, and the whole premise of that game is to play over and over and over and over again mm-hmm. to get yourself up to the final difficulty, Inferno, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And
it didn't keep my interest.
It didn't, didn't keep my interest enough for me to keep playing it that often.
Yeah.
So, and I got... Well, with this show, we have too many other games to play. There's no way I'm going to invest 200 hours plus to get over to Inferno.
Well, so I got like a week to get through RE6, and then Dishonored comes out. And when Dishonored comes out, I've been anticipating that for like so fucking long. RE6 will be shelved. You know, I mean, I didn't want to spend the money, so I actually traded in Skyrim on Xbox. I have it on PC, and I play more on PC.
Okay.
And I've already invested like 127 or 37 hours on the Xbox version, so I was like, oh, fuck it, you know. Trade that, but I also traded in my Left 4 Dead 2.
Wow.
It was on the list of bring it in, get, like, I think, $20 trade in.
Really? A game that old?
Well, dude, you know how much they're selling it for now? They're still selling
Left 4
Dead for like $50. Because it's such a huge title, they're still selling it for that much.
Really?
It's ridiculous. And I think they're trying to get as much money out of it as they can, because I think Valve is probably going to, maybe at some point, very soon, maybe announce Left 4 Dead 3. At which point, Left 4 Dead 2 will be pointless. Nobody will play it anymore.
That's been the feeling, but then again, has Valve done lately?
Yeah. Well, I did Portal 2, which is great. They did Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Global Offensive is actually pretty good.
They've been busy. Well,
they broke my heart when they stopped doing any of the Half-Life stuff, so...
They're actually... I think they finally did announce they're doing Half-Life 3, finally. They did say that.
Did they?
They said that they are
working on
it.
Don't get people's hopes up. Confirm that.
Yeah. It's not confirmed, but they said if we were working on it, it would be
But that's kind of like all those different developing studios that's saying
like
that
Duke
they're
Nukem.
Working on Duke Nukem.
Well, whenever Dead Space 3 was not announced, they said, we like Dead Space 2, what's happened with it and stuff, and if we were working on a Dead Space 3, this is the details of what would be going on. And they named off what planet would be on, what would be going on, it would have co-op, all this shit. And that's kind of almost similar to what they did with Half-Life 3. They said, if we were going to be working on Half-Life 3, here's the details of what would happen. We would not be working on Half-Life 2 Episode 3. We'd be skipping that and doing a episodic chapter installment for Part 3. And that was pretty much kind of a confirmation of that's what we planned. So it's like they actually... But the thing with Half-Life 2 is it's such a masterpiece game with the Half-Life series. They're so anal fucking retentive about it. Mm.
But at this point, they kind of have to be. They kind of set themselves up to have to be uber detail-oriented.
But if you ever watch them go on about, like, I think there was a behind-the-scenes of the making of the episodes they were talking about, and they were like, and they were showing a scene where the girl was talking to Freeman, and they're talking about her eyes, her teeth, everything, her gestures, like, all that shit has to be orchestrated piece by piece, because we take a lot of pride in the way we want you to feel they're actually talking to you, interacting with you. If you move, it readjusts everything.
Well, the Half-Life 2 came out in like 2005 or 2006, something like that.
Yeah, and it still did that, and it was just gorgeous.
Way ahead of us.
Yeah, and then so a game like Left 4 Dead, they're like, we build the maps, and then we just place the spawn points, and then boom, let it go. And it's just kind of organic, runs on its own. So
speaking of that stuff, I did some really quick research, and my Google foo is strong. So I'm actually looking at a story from Slash Gear, and there's some rumors about Half-Life 3. This story is from September 20th, so it's not that old. But a French gaming site called Le Journal du Gamer.
Trust the French.
Well, I guess they're part of international.
Vive la France!
Rendez-vous!
So I guess according to, they got a source really close to Valve that says that Half-Life 3 development restarted several times, and basically they're trying to get it right, as we're talking about. They've decided to toss some open-world game elements into Half-Life 3, so a la Skyrim, Fallout, things like that.
Okay.
Which means that they have kind of confirmed that they are doing it.
That would have to be their next level. I mean, Half-Life 1 and 2 were just so perfect that...
They were just really, really finely tuned games, but the idea is to give people quests to wander around and do things like that, kind of like Skyrim.
Well, what Skyrim did with Elder Scrolls was phenomenal, in my opinion, where they took all these great elements from MMO games, like the whole crafting, crafting, cooking, all that shit, and put it into this non-MMO environment that made you feel like it was an MMO, because you're sitting there mining for shit, you're scavenging, looking for crap. And that was a beautiful idea. It was a natural progression for Skyrim that they should have tried to do back in when Oblivion, and they might have saved Oblivion if it wasn't so fucking redundant. So,
well,
they still played it and beat it, so I can say that.
So the rumor on this is maybe after 2013.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking is what it'll be.
It'll be a next gen game. I don't think it's going to be current gen.
But if you know how Valve's company works, like how their actual workflow is. It's like, you don't even know how many people are on that project. They don't even know until, like...
They've always been random, though.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Valve, though. It's like they say, there's no bosses, there's no nothing, really. You got a project idea, work on it. If other people believe in it, they'll work on it with you, which means you got a good idea that other people agree with. They're like, nobody's really in charge, and there's just a natural flow, they say, that leads somebody to become the team developer.
That's kind of how the episodes for Half-Life 2 happened, is... Somebody had an idea and they just ran with it, and they just spent some time on it, and unfortunately they left it off with a...
I know, at that shitty scene where like the old dude dies and the fucking things, and you're just like, what's happening? You know, and then it says the end, and it's like Half-Life 3 Half-Life Episode 3 coming soon, and you're like, and then it came out.
Yeah.
So hopefully when they finally do release it, it'll pick up right then. I want to know what happens right then. I want to beat the crap out of the thing that sucked the old dude's brains out. So
another reason that you should follow us on Facebook is I'm posting what we're talking about right now on the Facebook.
Woo, there we go.
So facebook.com.
It'll be a 2-hour delay, but you'll see it. So,
yeah.
Semi-live.
Why are they posting shit at this time of night? And then they listen to the episode like, oh.
Oh, it's not a late night session.
Yeah. So, but Half-Life 3 definitely stoked. But I mean, Valve is one of those companies that, as time goes on, you see them take something like Portal 1 and they actually make a fantastic follow-up game to it. Portal 2, that's a full title.
Portal 2 is pretty flawless.
Yeah.
That's a really good game.
Yeah.
It is. And the new scripting for it.
Yeah.
The scripting they came up with it. I mean, some of the shit Gladios talks about is just beautiful.
Yeah. And Stephen Merchant as Wheatley was just fantastic, and a lot of the stuff he does is just great. And mean, even the intro, whenever he's talking about, you know, long spurts of hibernation can cause brain damage, so go ahead and speak, and you hit the talk button, you just jump.
Yeah.
It's just funny stuff like that.
His casting was almost as perfect as Martin Sheen for The Elusive Man.
Yeah.
I mean, perfect fit.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about other games.
Yeah.
Resident Evil. Now, this game...
Well, you didn't ask me what I've been doing.
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been all Resident Evil.
Okay, so we're segue into that.
Work and a little bit of Borderlands and...
A lot of Resident Evil.
Yeah. I beat one of the campaigns. I'm halfway through the other, so... But, yeah.
He's beat one of the five games that's in that game?
Yeah, pretty much. I beat the Jake Mueller one. So...
Did you have something to add? I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
Okay,
so that's
a good transition point. Because I was going to bring you into this anyway.
Yeah, I know.
So, Resident Evil. The reason I bring this up is it's kind of universally gotten trashed.
Fuck that.
And here's what I posted on my personal Facebook because I was going to post on this. But I slammed another gaming site. I wouldn't do that publicly on this, but it wasn't just that game site. It's like I read one story and one person kind of regurgitates the other and just regurgitate.
Yeah.
So comparing this to Gears of War, like I love Gears of War, but this is not Gears of War.
Yeah.
This
is not Resident
this is
Evil
Resident
3.
Evil 4 or 5. I mean, and this series has basically been this style of game since GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to get down to it. It hasn't been survival horror since PS1. And I don't really look at it as a survival horror. It's kind of an action horror game. That's really what it boils down to. It does have the quick time events.
Well, it does have scavenging for things such as, you know, herbs, ammo, crap like that. And this new one definitely likes to fuck you on ammo quite a bit. So it is kind of that survival
use a lot of melee.
Right.
Use a lot of melee and fucking hoard your ammo for whenever you get into a boss fight. So there is that survival aspect. Resident Evil Nemesis was the epitome of survival horror in that you had to make your own fucking ammo. You had to find the parts for it. That was an apex they reached. I thought, this is kind of cool, but I can see where this can go really shitty if they keep going this direction. And luckily they didn't, so I was kind of happy.
Yeah. It's just, really, it's a really entertaining game. I haven't really run into too many oh fuck moments as far as like, oh fuck, that's scary. But it's got some pretty good tension. It's got some... It's fairly cinematic. I mean, it ends everything on the story. It kind of pulls up the story beats.
Yeah.
Pulls you right into it. All the story's done with the game engine. It's a good-looking game, and not the graphics make the game, but
no, it's
Capcom really
game.
Does well with graphics.
Yeah.
They have been forever. I mean,
yeah.
Resident Evil, back when it came out, was, you know, the pinnacle of graphics back then, and it still is pretty close to that now.
Yeah.
But graphics aside, I mean, the gameplay, if you like 5, if you like 4... I'm still going with this. I mean, it's not quite as moody as 4.
This has more of that...
It's a huge-ass game.
This has more of the typical what you expect from Japan over-the-top moments in it.
Yeah.
Like I told you in Jake's campaign,
like
you're on a snowmobile, you're on a fucking motorcycle at one point, you're, like, buzzing through the cities of Japan on a fucking, you know, a fucking Ducati or something, you know, with a chick on the back, just... swinging past cars with guys on Molotovs and shit throwing them at you, a helicopter chasing you, you're doing quick time events as you jump in the air in slow-mo and she's like shooting people and it's Michael Bay top.
I'm not going to compare it to Michael Bay. What's the movie that Cashern is fucking over the top?
Cashern?
Yeah. It's
different kind of over the top in a way, in my opinion.
But
yes,
for people are going to get irritated with the over the top stuff.
Well, the over the top for Cashner was when he fights the entire army of robots while the main Ethiopian is on the tank, and they get into this, and he's like karate chops straight through the middle of a fucking robot. You don't see that in this game, but
this felt akin more to me to John Woo.
Yeah.
Chun Yo Fat assassin over the top.
Yeah, that moments. Type of, you know, and it's just, it's one of those things where you got like, you're driving a motorcycle through scaffolding on the side of a building, and the helicopter comes at the end with its fucking railgun, and you go sideways just so that when you pop out the side, your tires will stop you and you can drive straight off. Would not happen in real life that way, but you know, that's Michael Bay moment right there.
Only in the movies.
Yeah,
and that's
only
where,
in the movies.
And that's where these, you know, these games seem to be going. They tend to get more cinematic as they go.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it really started with 4. You know, I played three. I played four, and I lost interest. Actually, I was more interested in the survival horror aspect. So Nemesis was pretty much the last Resident Evil that I played all the way through. Now I've given each one a try, and I'm gonna give this one a try because I've kind of caught up with the story, but I'm really interested to see how they kind of mesh all five of the different campaigns.
Or four.
Yeah, the different campaigns together.
I'm pretty sure that the fourth campaign, because I don't know anybody's gone to yet, I'm pretty sure it's Ada Wong. Because she's a heavy hitter, Resident Evil character. People love her. And in RE4, they had the side game for Ada Wong. Once you beat it, you could play her. And showing the entire intro of her sneaking in for Wesker's group to steal the Las Plagas thing or whatever. And I was like, that's the only person I can think of that would make sense to give a campaign to, because you've got Jake Mueller and Sherry. And Sherry was a little girl from Resident Evil 2 that you rescued as Claire. She's all grown up now. And then you've got Leon Kennedy and this one Secret Service chick who's working with him now. And then Chris has his BSAA group, and he's got this one dude who's with him. You know, it's like...
Like his right hand.
They're so close. Yeah.
like his right hand jacker, you know. Yeah, he's right there.
A heavy hitter. And you got those six together. And so you're like, who else would be a welcome addition? Well, Wesker's fucking dead.
Yeah, from RE5.
Yeah, from RE5.
I don't know about that. I mean, look at all the shit you had to go through to finish him off in 5.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull him out of the grave.
That's
the lava. Of lava?
Yeah.
He did take lava.
Yeah, he did drown in lava, and he had a giant rock fall on him at the end, so...
And two RPGs to the face seem fairly final, but still.
Yeah, I know, but lava's a whole different beast. It gets in all their nooks and crannies.
It's a cruel mistress.
It's a cruel mistress. Cruel mistress, that lava bee. Anyway, so, but I think he's dead. He's got to be fucking dead. The Ashford family, which was in...
They're all pretty much gone.
They're all fucking
gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Anybody that was involved with Umbrella is dead.
Yeah.
Tricell, which was Resident Evil
5, is pretty much finished.
That's gone. So now they have Neo Umbrella, which is a proclaimed terrorist group. Unlike Umbrella original was, they were like, we're here to help you, but we're going to kill a bunch of you at the same time. And so Neo Umbrella is just full of terrorists. And you're like, okay, whatever. I wish I would have picked a different name.
Yep.
I'm tired of fucking Umbrella. I'm tired of getting fucked by them. And but Ada Wong seems to be the prime candidate for it because everybody loves her. She always has interesting stories, and she's so mysterious with the whole, like, in the original game, you know, Resident Evil 2, you had the whole John situation where you're like, who the fuck
you kind of get the feeling that Ada was, like, Albert's, like, side mistress. It's almost, she's actually that mysterious.
If you play Jake Mueller's campaign, no, if you play Leon Kennedy's campaign, and you get to the underground research, you see a video that says, Happy Birthday, Ada Wong. That just changes your whole perspective on Ada Wong. You're just like, what the fuck was that? So you're like, what the fuck? I have a theory on what it actually was.
Well, we can already spoiler cast at some point.
Yeah, but other than that, story wise, I'm glad what they did, because I mean, it seems like, you know, Leon came in part 2. Jill and Barry were in part 3, and then Claire came back for Veronica. Along with Chris. Chris comes in through the second half of the game. And I like that. That was one thing I really liked was that you got to play both of them, one half and then the other half, and you got to revisit certain things. That was cool. And then when part 4 came out, they brought Leon back, and he was a badass Boy Scout, and that was cool as shit. And then part 5, they brought Chris back, which I was totally stoked for because I liked Chris Redfield. And...
Unfortunately, I felt like they made him kind of like the...
They made him a
Anakin Skywalker whiny bitch.
Well, they made him like a big-eared, gorilla, goofy motherfucker. He doesn't look anything
like he did. In fact, there's an armor in DLC you can get. He looks like a freaking cog in it.
Nice. You know? But he has these big fucking Dumbo ears. Thing. He's like, the entire time. But I was happy to see them bring Chris back because I liked Chris... And he's like that upstanding Boy Scout character as well. So in part 6, I was like, who are they going to focus it on? There's so many options they can go with.
So they went with eight options.
So they went with everybody.
Yeah. As well as some new characters. And I was like, that's cool. I was a little iffy about the whole Jake Mueller thing because I was pissed that they let it out of the bag early that he's Wesker's son. Because they said that before the game came out.
Yeah.
Like, you can play Jake Mueller, who, by the way, is Wesker's son. Thank you. I played the game, and you don't even find that out until, like, the end of Chapter 2 or Chapter 1. They let you know, and you're like, that would have been really cool to find out on my own, Capcom. Fuck you. But I didn't know if I was going to like it, and as I played through, I started to like it more. He's kind of a show-off, mouthy showboater like his dad, you know, Wesker is. But, you know, he's torn between that. You know, I found out my father was an evil son of a bitch and tried to destroy the entire world. Am I that, or am I my own person?
Say another person with daddy issues.
Yeah, basically.
Great.
But
it's a good story, though.
But at the same time, back to the spoiler. I think Capcom might have thought they needed to do it.
Yeah.
As much damage as the Resident Evil movie series has done to the image.
The shoe now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know there are a whole lot of people out there who don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of people out there that like the movies.
I don't understand that. I mean, I like the Resident Evil Generation when it's the CGI movie. That was good.
And yeah.
The new one that's coming out, which I'm
the new one is excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that one. I've been looking forward to it.
The CG movie.
Yeah,
yes.
Those are good. I think
I've got a free code to see the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might try to use that.
I think I might have it. I think I do in mine.
Yeah, I think it came with something like here's a
I just didn't read that because I was pissed that when I opened it there was no pamphlet, there's no like
book, there's no game manual,
no booklet. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, but really gaming needs to move away from that,
from the manuals.
Yeah,
after how many decades
of all of us being gamers, and let's face it, the gamer core now is 30 to 40 years old and have been playing these games for decades. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we no longer need manuals.
But I like the swag. I like the idea that I have this manual with cool pictures.
You like swag, huh?
Yeah. With swag in the way it's like, hey, I went to the game store and got a bunch of swag. I love that stuff. I love having the book with all the cool artwork in it and all that stuff. It's fun having.
So now we just need to get leather-bound coffee books with our games.
Exactly. Coffee table books.
I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised with the entire map in The Witcher 2.
Oh, yeah.
That you got with the Witcher 2 manual.
Well,
that was cool.
I might have traded my Skyrim in. I kept my map. It's sitting on my bookshelf. I can't, because that's a nice map. That's a nice, thick, heavy duty. And that map will last a lot, much longer than the Morrowind one lasted. Yeah. So, because that got ripped.
The Morrowind one was just, it was thinner than printer paper, people.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But it took up half your wall.
Yeah, it was this one's still just as big, probably. But I kept that because I like that, and I still have it on PC. So at least I got something for my PC copy.
I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I still look forward to opening up a new case.
No! I love that.
You know, unboxing a new game and finding a giant thick manual because I know that the first three pages I can skip. Mm. That's all the controls, and that's all changeable in the game in most cases. But it's all the extras.
Character bios.
That's the thing, though. It almost seems like unless you're getting a BioWare game, you're not getting a thick-ass manual anymore. You're getting 10, 12 pages worth of
useless bullshit
that you don't need anymore.
Dark Souls manual essentially says, gather souls, try not to lose them, use them to level up. All right, go have fun.
Yeah. That's two pages. Even that I like. That's funny. That's cool. I like that.
Die many, many times.
But back to Resident Evil, though.
Yeah.
Anybody who loved 5 is going to, or 4, is going to extremely love 6 just for the fact it seems like everything control-wise is smoother.
Yeah, well, the new melee stuff is great.
It's less jerky.
Yeah.
You're not completely stopping when you go to aim down the sights, which is excellent.
Yeah, running kind of sucks at times when you're trying to run upstairs.
Well, the camera's all
over
the place.
That's all camera angle, though. That's all Resident Evil camera angle.
Well, we don't have Holly in the show to bitch about camera angles tonight, so.
But running is, it's got that Dark Sector run, and Dark Sector was a great game, but the running in it kind of blew because it would go into this focus thing where they would streak out, and you do long turns. Yeah, very wide turns, and that's kind of what Resident
Gears of War does it too.
Gears of War did it too.
Yeah.
And it can really throw you off after a while.
Yeah.
Run.
But yeah, it can really throw you off, and you're like trying to run around this like, you know, like a turn in a room, and you just plant right into the wall, and you're like, motherfucker.
And it, and it's like you said last week, the inventory system is improved.
Yeah,
it's not as clunky, people.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's just the game faster. Pause even in single player when you pull up the inventory, which I thought was funny that even in single player it doesn't pause the fucking game. So you're just like constantly like, if you really need to add some herbs to your tablet belt, you run away as fast as you can from people and you hit the Y button. And it starts you off on your herbs right off the bat, which is nice, because they know that that's what you're in there for. So you can boom, click, click, boom, and then go back to the game, pause some tabs, and start shooting shit. If you need to combine crap, fuck that. Fuck that. So
you can buy crap after you kill the horde.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I like the melee system a lot better than the other games. I was showing them, I have a it's basically an AK-47 with a, I don't know what the hell they're calling it, because they're not wanting to pay royalties to real game gun names, but it's basically an AK with a bayonet, and it's really nice because I guess it uses less stamina when I use it, and then once they get on the ground, she takes it. I play in Helena because I got stuck in that because I was doing co-op, and I'm stuck with her for the rest of the game.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to play Leon. Sorry. I got stuck with Helena.
Well, to be honest with you, I think there's actually hidden cinematics that you can only get by playing the co-op character, because I beat the Jake one, and you can go to the cinematic tree, and it shows you every cinematic in the game as an empty slot, and I got all of Jake's except for one, and I think it was at a point that me and her got separated, and she gets her own. So that's probably, or goes towards an achievement. So it's actually probably beneficial to play as the...
and then go back and play as Leon on the second playthrough.
Actually, you'll probably get all the cinematics playing as her anyways, but you'll get that extra one. So.
Well, but like I said, with melee, though, there's a lot of satisfying melee in there, just like when they knock him down the ground and take the bayonet and shove it in the face. Or she does this thing where she grabs him by the shoulder and drops him down and then just drops down like in a wrestling move and hits the elbow to the face.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Or she does a coup de grace where she does a two, like a double kick, basically. She like jumps up on one arm and kicks him.
Yeah, it's not the basic bitch slap with your gun anymore.
No, it's straight melee. Like Jake Neal or even Leon does I think every character has the from behind sneak attack where you come up and you grab him and you
Well,
grab
everybody's him. Is different.
Yeah, well, Jake and Leon actually had a similar one for it. And it's just you come up, you grab him, and you can flip him back and crack their head on the ground. Or you can run past them and you grab them in an arm lock and just bring them straight down and smack their head open. And my favorite one, though, is if an enemy has a weapon, if they have like a metal bar or an axe or something, you'll come up and they'll swing at you and you grab it and you rip it out of their hands and you just fucking bat them across the face with it and kill them.
Nice, Assassin's Creed style.
Yeah, just straight up, bam. And it's a satisfying crunch. It's very nice. And just killing enemies is beautiful in this game because... It's in the past when you were fighting the Las Plagas or in Resident Evil 5 when you were just shooting random people, you could shoot them in the leg and just shoot them in the leg. And this one, when you shoot them in the leg, you watch flesh tear away. If you shoot them in the face, I shot a dude and I watched his jaw fall off slowly as I was shooting around his jaw, and then his head started to fall sideways.
You also see him stumble more.
Yeah.
Whenever you shoot him, even center mass, they actually. Yeah. Visibly stumble.
Yeah.
Well, I've been shooting a lot of them in the legs or in the shins.
Yeah.
The shotgun take out their legs, and they fall down, and the ones that are behind them will start to fall down and trip over them.
Yeah.
And you can use that so you can go by and just use your melee attack.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
It's like get your pistol out and just stand still with a zombie kind of just work their head, not straight center, but just around the edges, and you'll see their throat rip off, you'll see their jaw get blown off. And if you shoot them enough, you'll actually just watch their head basically fall apart in front of you, and they'll just drop to the ground. And it's grotesque as shit, and it's awesome.
What's real fun, too, one of the other things that I was just noticing that I did like is the bullet holes.
Yeah.
Like you're shooting them center mass or whatever you miss, and you see the bullet hole go, or the bullet go all the way through them, and they got, like, this hollow spot on them.
Yeah.
Which was something I'm not used to seeing.
Plus, you can hit somebody behind them, too, if you're using a shotgun. It'll go through him and it'll hit the next person behind him, and it's pretty much exactly what you did.
They definitely up the grotesqueness, and it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
The enemies are... when I first started playing as Jake, one thing I noticed is like in Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 4, and all the Resident Evils, you always had the soft spot on the boss, which was the glowing area. They have that on a lot of them, like that naked bitch we were fighting. Yeah, she had... I'm not saying why, I just said she was a naked bitch. You could see a lot of boob. I'm beating the crap out of this girl, but there's
more boob.
Yeah, but there's these two giant BOWs that come out in Jake Mueller's, And their soft spots are really hard to tell because of their coloring, because they're really light brown to begin with, light brown and dark brown. And it's just a mishmash, and I was having a really hard time figuring out where their soft spots are. One of them's on their back, and the other one's on his face. And you just have to just keep aiming and shooting until you hear the squish. And you know that you're actually, because you don't want to get near these guys.
So I saw your hand gestures. So is it like Balchinian, like?
No, it's like
hanging off of his face.
Everything's open right there, and it's just like slug.
So one of the things I noticed just between several campaigns I played the demo for Chris. I played the demo for, well, I watched you play Jake.
Yeah.
And then I played a lot of Chris Redfield's, or Leon's. The campaigns are fairly varied. I mean, with Jake's, it felt a little bit more kind of middle road between Leon and Chris.
Well, he's in Adonia, which is where he starts out at. He's a mercenary, and he's being extracted, so you're working your way through Adonia, and you end up in Japan at one point, and it just kind of works its way through that. While Leon starts off in
D.C.,
it's supposed to be D.C.
in the White House.
There, yeah, and works. And I know that you meet everybody in each campaign. They all have intersecting parts. There's actually parts where it's you and your partner fighting an enemy with the other two groups. So you have six fucking people all at once beating the crap out of it, which is actually fucking. Sorry, not six. Sometimes four, maybe six.
I just got to a point where some characters intersected, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah. Did you actually get into a boss fight with them?
I did, and they watched me get my ass whipped. So.
Dude, they did a lot of work for me. I had to do it. I just kept running around grabbing fucking shit and just laying shots at his ass.
That's the other thing you can count on, people.
Yeah.
The AI for your partner is still stupid. Co-op.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say exactly what it was, but I was trying to open a valve while this big, crazy, multi-titted thing, or whatever the hell it was. The thing that me and you fought.
It looked like one of the glob zombies from Left 4 Dead. It really did.
You're talking about the titty monster?
Yeah, in the plane with Leon. Yeah,
that's the official name now, titty monster.
That's why I call it the booby monster of the titty, because it looks like it has tits all over it.
It's pretty grotesque.
Yeah.
As Deadpool would say, that's disgusting, but hey, it's got boobies.
Yeah, pretty much. the AI, well, it's like there's a part with Jake where you're in this elevator, this underwater facility, and you have to do the constant, you know, you grab a lever and your buddy's got to go and grab the other one and do it at the same time. And with the AI, it's actually pretty good because you can tell them to wait right next to the goddamn thing. You can say, hey, wait right here. And then you just walk over and aim. So that way they're right there if you got a lot of enemies around you. But the worst one is where you have to go and do it, and there's an electrified wall between you and the other one, and they have to make their way out onto the elevator and ride it around because it's this multi-level elevator that goes around just to get to the other side. Amazingly, the AI actually just went straight there while I made my way to the other one. So when I went to go grab it, I was like, I hope to God I don't get hit. And she was like, got it. And I'm like, oh, she's right there. Never mind, I didn't even notice. So I haven't had a problem with the AI yet. Although I did have a problem with her constantly fighting shit when I got knocked down.
Yeah. So
that pissed me off. I'd be like, pick me up, you fucking bitch.
One of the last things that I want to say about it is they've definitely set up a couple of spots in it where they want you to fight everything, and then a few spots that it's like, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, there's a few where you just need to run.
It's like, it's not worth it to fight the horde. You're going to run out of ammo. Just get the hell out of there.
Or you're going to run out of stamina and just get taken out.
Yeah. You tend to use melee a lot more than I do, but
in areas like that too, I've noticed. Well, there's that area where you and I came out with Leon in his campaign, where it was telling you just to get your you weren't playing at the time. It was before you jumped onto my game. you come out of the building and there's this alleyway, and you need to run down to get to the car. And there's just this horde that's coming. And the first few you kill, you can get drops off of them, but after that, none of the other ones dropped anything. I think that's kind of a sign to let you know that you're not going to get anything farming here. Just get the fuck out, run as fast as you can.
Does it change like the music change or anything like that during the
time? Yeah, when you got situations where you're getting attacked and stuff, you'll get music pickup and stuff to let you know that, you know, either your partner is getting attacked or if you don't see anything, so you should look around because you hear drums or you hear a symphony or whatever. Right. And I'm trying to think of.
We ran into a couple of situations. I mean, me and you were just playing on. Well, normal's as hard as you can pick it.
Oh, outside the church.
Yeah, in that one spot.
Yeah, I just kept dropping remote bombs and just led enemies there. And
So that was last night. Instead of doing our show last night because we couldn't get everybody on, me and you decided to co-op.
Yeah.
And co-op was actually really fun, where we had some difficulty with that. I actually replayed that same section with Dave last night and had a lot of fun. At that point, I was like, all right, Dave, so here's what we can do. How many bombs do we got between the two of us? We're going to unload on these guys.
With remote bombs?
Yeah, we planted the remote bombs, and then we did a second set of remote bombs, and in between we're using incendiary grenades.
See, I just use one at a time, because if you've got multiples laying out, there's a chance that there won't be one. I don't want to waste it, so I put it over by the front of the fence where they drop down, put it there, let about, you know, 3, 4, 5 of them get around, and I lure them back over there while you were fucking off, you know, fighting them. And I'd just be like, all right, you ready? You're like, blow it, bam, blow them up. But when those really badass ones, the jumping ones, showed up, that's when I would just run up. One of them was down on the ground from shooting them enough times, drop it there, and lead a pack of zombies behind me. So that way, when I got far enough, I could turn around, that dude's finally standing up, and he's got like 2 zombies, 3 zombies next to him, blow him up. And it actually killed him pretty fast.
Remote bombs are really satisfying.
Yeah, and you do find a decent amount of them. I ran out there, but by the time we got to the end of that chapter, I had like 4 again, so it paid off.
That's the other thing, is it seemed like enemies drop more.
Well, you have
then
a perk.
M5.
Yeah, you have a perk where you can get them to drop specific types of things. Like, you can get them to drop more
shotgun
ammo, magnum ammo, stuff like that. And this one, yeah, they don't drop as much stuff. For the most part, you end up picking up skill points. Little 100 skill point, little chest pieces.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that, Jason, but I was not prepared.
No, you weren't at all.
I didn't have near enough ammo for
you. You weren't at all. I'll admit I've only played the demo campaign so far, but to be honest, compared to Resident Evil 5, though, it is more drops off of enemies versus
gold.
You
get drops, but it's mainly a lot of skill points. You'll get handgun ammo is the number one thing they drop, and occasional herbs and stuff. But for the most part, it's all skill points. But I don't mind that so much because I use a lot of melee. Like, when he came into my game, I was sitting at like 200 some odd fucking handgun rounds. I had like 78 shotgun rounds because I don't use my weapons when I'm dealing with just piddly shit. I'll just melee, work a group, melee him, because, I mean, you can knock through
Amen,
one
sir.
At a time. Yeah,
Amen.
You just head stomp the shit out of him.
Give the man a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse time.
And also, using your AI is another good thing, because when you run into a crowd, you can aim at something, hold B, and she'll attack that one thing while you go off and work something else. And you just keep telling her to attack things, because if she can get it on the ground by shooting enough, you can head stomp it really fast and not waste all your stamina kicking it over and over again. So just using that is a really good strategy.
It doesn't work with Nosta.
Yeah, that's true. But it keeps you from wasting all your stamina just to get them all on the fucking ground. So it's... I like it whenever you and the AI want to beat up the same zombie, though, because you're both just sitting there stomping it while it's on the ground. You know, it's like an ass-kicking convention. Shooting this person just stomping this fucking guy over and over again, and then finally one of you gets a head stomp, you're like, oh, that's gross. So, then the subway sucked ass, and that's where that happened.
It's like your Woody Harrelson Zombieland moment. Just
The zombie just ate your last Twinkie, so you just go ape shit on the whole group and make them suffer for it. So... Resident Evil.
So far, I've had some fun.
I mean, I love the fact that everybody was praising the game before it came out, because you just saw nothing but great reviews, and as soon as it came out, a certain, you know...
Like, Famitsu gave it, like, their highest rating of all time for any game period.
Yeah.
They rate on a 40-point system, which is fairly arbitrary.
Yeah.
Well, they gave it 39 out of 40.
Yeah. And then, like, I think Kotaku gave it, like, 4.5 out of 10.
No, they don't do it. They just say yes or no.
They just say no. Who was it that gave it the 4.5 out of 10? Was that, can't remember who the fuck that was, but I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Because it's a fun game.
Well, most of the reviewers are saying it's not survival horror. It's not a survival horror game.
It hasn't been for, like, 10 fucking years.
It's just been kind of its own genre. I mean, it's not the best shooter in the world, but it's always just been... I don't know, there's something about the story that's always drawn me in. Not that it's the best story in the world, but it's just fun. There's something about the varied ammo and the goofy names for the guns, the amount of varied killing of zombies.
Well, it's also the challenge, because, I mean, like, in Resident Evil 4, when you first walk into that village, and the whole fucking village turns on you.
That was ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, that, it's that challenge, yeah. Especially when you put it on fucking, like, nightmare mode, and you're just climbing roofs after roof after roof, jumping, or just trying
Let's face it, people, you play Resident Evil to stomp hordes of zombies, and for the puzzles.
Yeah, and you get your ass kicked, royally. Because when you play that shit on the fucking, like, hard mode, it's...
You're getting dead all
constantly. And you hear, Leah! And you die. Or Chris! Or,
Shaba! Shaba!
Yeah, Shaba!
We have a lot of fun with that. Maybe
yeah, every time we play... I started dead every time we play fucking, Shiva. Or whatever she... Sheva. Or whatever. Yeah, her name's Sheva. It's like, so we play and he'd be like, Chris would be getting attacked, and he goes, Shaba! She's like, Shaba!
Yeah, they unlock the, like, that crazy, like, the fucking disco. Spice Girls outfit that she has.
Yeah, the disco outfit.
It's like all gold.
The whole gold one, yeah. My favorite was the black and white. They had a black and white.
And a red riding hood.
Psychedelic mode, that was it. And a red one that was great. And
yeah, Red Riding Hood, my wife absolutely loved that one. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Yeah, but the camera, like, the different filters you could unlock were pretty interesting, too. It was interesting. I never played the game all the way through with any of them because I was like, this is too much.
Yeah, it's like the sepia filter was kind of rough.
Yeah, they had this weird one that would do that. They had like classic horror movie one, I think, where it was grainy as shit. It was just constant. And it looked cool as shit during the cinematics, but during the game, it was cool at the beginning, and then it got kind of old after.
Yeah, and you couldn't see
shit moving constantly, and you're like, zombies. And, I'm interested to see what the unlocks are going to be once I beat the whole game. So I've still got probably about 16 hours. Well, there's that fourth one. I think that even after I beat those other two, I might get the achievement for beating the game. But anything that's like cool unlockable, there'll be some after beating the first group. There'll probably be something
like infinite ammo. That was probably the best thing. Five fully upgrade the Magnum. Unlimited ammo, go back through the game on the hardest mode.
This one, infinite ammo is one of the options when you first started.
Nice.
I don't think it's unlocked yet. I think you actually have to, because it has the Agent Hunt mode.
Yeah, that one's disabled.
But you have to actually beat at least one of the games, one of the campaigns to unlock it. And what Agent Hunt mode does is it's basically Dark Souls mode, where people can invade your game while you play, which is fucking awesome. I haven't done it yet, and I haven't anybody do it to me yet, but... Very cool. So you can just like show up. I don't know if you show up as a human or if you show up as a really badass BLW. One or the other.
No, it's zombies. You show up as different zombies.
Oh, really?
BLWs or whatever.
So you actually do show up as the powerful ones, the BLWs?
I don't know.
Man.
Dude, that'd be wicked.
Yeah, I know. Just show up as like, it'd be nice if they had a liquor you could fucking unlock. Those liquors are a pain in the ass. They all love and hunters suck ass too.
Well, I gotta say, so far this is head and shoulders over the Raccoon City game.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even touch Raccoon City. They said it coming out, and I said, no, it's not even Capcom developing it.
See,
I'm not gonna touch it.
But I only bought it for $5. Because I had a $5 off Redbox for GameFly. Yeah, we did that first, and I decided I would buy this game, but only at $30 brand new. If this game came out and it was $30 brand new, I would have bought it, because it's a Resident Evil game. It does have a little bit of fun value to it. If you get a whole team of four people and you go and just rock it, it's actually kind of fun. I wish it was more expandable. I wish there was more to it. But I was like, I'm not going to spend more than $30 brand new, and then GameFly was selling it for $10, and I had a $5 coupon, so I was like, yeah, I'll fucking buy it from them, because I don't rent from them anymore, but I still get to buy stuff, so I was like, that's a good enough deal. And I played it for about 3 hours after I got it in the mail, and I'd already beaten it, and I just played it just to see where I was, and I was like in the 40s or something on my level, so I was like, hey, I'm done with this. So it's now on my shelf.
Yay.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things. I'm not completely sure I want to play that story again from the Umbrella side. You know, that's more novelty give me thing.
Well, it's the typical Umbrella side story as well, though, where it's like, you know, your mission is fucked, we're leaving you behind.
Now, so. had they done it where you play some of it as Wesker? Because let's face it, it would have been nice to play some of Wesker's side
to
shit.
To see all the shit he did behind the scenes, because you see him pop up here and there, but I don't know what the fuck.
Now, if you give me that game, I will buy it.
Yeah. Well, there was one thing that they tried to lure people in with, and that was Nemesis mode, where you could control a nemesis.
Yeah.
That
gimmick, though.
It is gimmick. It is a gimmick, but that was what they were trying to do, is lure people in, that you can finally play a nemesis and go after, you know, STARS members. And I was like, that's kind of a treat, but it's one of those things where you had to pre-order, and it was only on Xbox, and that pissed a lot of fucking people off.
Yeah.
Especially since Resident Evil was largely a Sony platform game. It pissed a lot of fucking people off, which I understand. You know, completely. I own an Xbox. You know, so sorry.
Well, I have PS3, but I just about never play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's face it. Shooters are just more fun on Xbox because you're not playing with the same people over and over usually.
And you can actually talk to them.
Yeah.
Well, you can still talk to them on PS3. It's just a lot of party.
Yeah.
If they just do party chat on PS3, I'd probably jump right on board.
Yeah, it would fix a lot of things. It would. So.
I wonder if Xbox has some kind of patent on that.
No, I don't know. I mean,
I doubt that Microsoft does. Yeah. I think it's more just a. The thing that's unique about Microsoft and the way that it forms a party, it's using someone else's Xbox as the server for the party chat. PS3 doesn't have that. They don't. Yeah. It's all a centralized network. So they would literally have to have separate networks set up and separate servers set up just for party chat, and they're not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... But yeah, that's our take on Resident Evil, as well as other things. And I enjoy the shit out of it, Justin.
So far, I mean, I'll have my final say once I beat it, but...
Yeah, I'm...
For the most part, I'm not regretting my purchase at all. Not in the least. I'm actually... Yeah. I'm not going to say it's a better game. It's kind of apples and oranges, but I've put down Borderlands to invest some time in this, and I've already... Like, the first chapter... I'm on chapter 4 of Leon's story. There's 5 chapters per...
Yeah.
And granted, I've replayed one of those, but I'm at 8 hours in.
Yeah.
So, and I'm playing a little bit slow, but I'm just saying that each of the chapters takes me anywhere between 1:20 to 1:50.
Yeah, some of them go back and forth. There's been, like, on Jake's, there was some that took me 30 minutes to get through, then there's one that took me, like, 1:50 fucking minutes to get through. And then one of Leon's, I think it might have been Leon's first fucking chapter.
It's long as hell.
It's, like, 2 hours just to get through it, and I was like, fuck me, that's long. I've already beaten Jake's campaign. I'm about halfway through Leon's, and I'm like 8 hours in, probably about that. So I'm estimating that it's
going to be
about 20 hours. You know, that's just for my initial playthroughs without doing co-op, without doing dog tag hunting or emblem hunting. So, you know, and just like always, they have the emblems in there, which as you collect them, they unlock story elements. So you can find out more about each character as well as elements of their story. There's a central enemy in Jake's that's chasing him the entire time, and some of the emblems will unlock information about who that guy is, what he was, and what he became, and stuff like that. And that's kind of cool to find that out. I enjoyed that. As well as what happened to Sherry after Raccoon City 2, which is kind of interesting to read, because she just disappeared. After that, she was gone.
So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, that's another person, a really random character they could pull in for the fourth one, is, what was it, Maya was her name, from the Resident Evil 1 remake.
Yes.
Yep. The little hottie medic chick.
Yes.
Because she just disappeared out there. They never talked about her again. Or it could be Barry. No, Barry died.
Yeah, Barry's dead.
Yeah, I forgot. He died. Forrest is dead. It's sad I remember his name.
What about any of the people from Code Veronica?
Code Veronica would be that shitty little fucking whiny-ass River Phoenix kid. What was his fucking name? You're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. Was it Jimmy?
Jimmy, I think it was, yeah. Jimmy or Johnny, something simple like that.
He's like, clear! Man, I fucking hated that kid. It sounds just like him, doesn't it? You're like, holy shit! It's like, I got these cool guns! It's like, dad! Anyway, I hated that fucker. I wanted him dead.
You wanted to shoot him yourself many times.
I fucking pointed my gun at him a couple times. They could bring Claire in, probably, because she's not in any of these. They have Jill. Because actually, I can see it being Jill. They haven't had Jill in anything since Part 3.
Yeah, they haven't had Jill in anything except for Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, so they could probably do a Jill one. And my big
They still did Jill in 5.
Yeah, she was a badass.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She was a badass in 5.
There was that whole DLC where you went back to Ashford's mansion.
Like Lost Memories or whatever it
is. Yeah,
I forgot. Well, they could still bring her in to kind of recap what's happened to her since then. I could see that. There's
I could see that being really interesting after being manipulated by Wesker.
Yeah.
That would.
But that's not anybody I've met yet in any of the storylines. The only person whose storyline she would probably end up in is Chris's. Because probably. That's the only relation she has is Chris. So I haven't played his campaign. So if she runs in, if I run into her in Chris's campaign, then I'll know that it's probably going to be her. But I haven't seen her in Jake's at all. She never, though there was one mysterious chick, but I was pretty sure that was Ada Wong. Even then. Before they even brought her up. So, anyways, we're going to go and take a break, and we will be right back. Now we're back from a break to episode 104. Justin's nooks and crannies. So,
what?
Justin's nooks and crannies.
Got a lot of those.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it was scary.
Yeah, it was scary. We trashed American cinema.
We did.
Yes. And Justin added one number into his phone book.
I'm gonna add another.
Now we've got two. Total.
We got two.
So here's gonna be.
Well, the other one's just his car insurance person.
Oh. This is something I never mentioned on here. Like, you guys always make fun of my phone. Now I have an Evo.
Yeah, you actually got a...
Now you've upgraded to the Evo Lite, and I've got, like,
the
4G LTE sitting right here next to you.
You're still behind.
Only paid $100.
Well...
You know, had you waited a couple more weeks, you could have gotten it free, because this was out.
Well, what I'm seeing right now is he's holding a Fisher-Price phone in one hand, and an Evo in the other.
Yeah, because he can't email himself his contacts.
No, I can't. Not with his phone.
He can't bump his phone together like.
Yeah. His old phone has like Snake on it, well, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, mine's weird.
True.
Yeah.
It's so old that the transfer computer isn't compatible.
When
with
you
it.
Turn it on, you get a DOS prompt.
There you go. So.
This is barely newer than the old Nokias.
Which one? Your old one? Or the... I was about to say, what the fuck? Anyway, so, I have an iPhone, just because, you know, I'm with AT&T, so, yeah.
Fair enough.
They're okay.
Yeah.
It's a 3G. I wouldn't mind getting the 4G, but I looked at it and I was like, dude, the 4G just came out a little bit ago, now the 5 is coming out? Like, are you shitting me? Because the 4 just came out, like...
the 4 didn't have 4G on it, did it?
No, it was 4th generation. So, yeah. It's like the 4th generation came out, and now they got the 5th one on its way. And I'm like, that was a really short gap between the two. It's a lot shorter than, I think, the other ones have been.
Yeah, from 3 to 4, it was a longer wait.
Yeah, it was a much longer wait. And they haven't really improved anything.
No, they added a 4G antenna that HTC is suing them over.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's like, that's fucking ridiculous. I mean... I saw somebody do a fake commercial ad for what they wanted the new iPhone to do, the new iPhone 4. And it was this really cool thing that had a transparent screen. It was just straight see-through. Right. So when you go to take photos, you actually see what you're shooting through the phone itself, and it's just an LCD display. Really cool with these black mounts at the end, like the regular phone has. And it's just really amazing. And they were like, and then you can put it down, and you hit this button, and it shoots a keyboard out with lights so you can type on your desk. And I was like, that would be awesome, too. Because they have those already, the light keyboards.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is what the iPhone should do. And iPhone was just like, fuck you. We're not going to do that.
Well, you know, they lost their greatest inventor. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
they have no brain anymore.
Yeah. Then they got that one dude. What's his name?
That one dude?
That one guy that took over Steve Jobs, the guy he was grooming for years to take over his job. I can't remember what his name was.
His name Wozniak?
No, it's not Wozniak, it's somebody else.
Who's that guy?
I can't remember. Yeah, I remember whenever there was a whole liver thing going on with Steve Jobs, I was talking to my grandmother, and I was like, he's stepping down from Apple, and I was like, it's probably not that serious. Then he died like 2 months later, and I was like, oops.
It's like, not serious at all.
Glad not his doctor. That would have sucked. It's like being Jim Henson's doctor, Jesus, which he didn't even have one. Anyway, so... we had some fun on our break. We're still having fun now. We're going to talk about our question from last week.
Yes.
Which was, what was your favorite game soundtrack?
And we got some responses from that.
Yeah, which I actually remembered halfway through the week. We had that question before because we talked about Wipeout XL. A long time ago.
Yeah, but this is so far back it didn't count.
Yeah, because there's new games that have come out. We mentioned a lot of new games that came out, so...
We get a repeat here and there at this many episodes. I tried to filter through everything. I searched our website and I couldn't find it, so...
Yeah.
I don't remember. I must have phrased it differently than the four different ways of search.
No, I remember I went through... I think it's before we posted the question. We just asked. I think I chose Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, which had great fucking soundtracks. We also talked about Mass Effect. I even talked about the Tron game, the new one that came out, which had, you know, I love Tron, so I was very happy with the stuff it had there. It was really fun.
And the part that didn't get recorded, Rex had said Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, he went old school.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Do you guys have one?
I gotta say, it's either hands down Dragon Age or Mass Effect for me.
Dragon Age
had a really good soundtrack.
I actually like the Skyrim soundtrack.
Yeah, we brought that up too. I also mentioned Wet, which was a very underrated game, and it was a really boring game once you got near the end and realized the boss fight sucked. But the soundtrack was awesome. It was really fun. It's all rockabilly, like Japanese and American rockabilly. So,
just going back, you know, the very first soundtrack. It was like Twisted Metal Black.
Oh, yeah.
It was a piece, PlayStation game, and you just pop it into a CD player, and it had decent music on it. Well, the game was, you know, backdrop was real music, so that was something
Road Rash.
Road Rash.
I remember Wipeout XL, which had like Prodigy, Underworld, Fluke doing Atom Bomb, you know, which the great. Fucking game, and they even had the other Wipeout, which had like Underworld doing Kittens and all that. Just really good music. Good stuff to play hover race car with that you blow other people up.
Yeah.
That was fun stuff. But we asked that question, and do you have some answers for us?
I do. So I always ask on the group, and then, well, I say I do. Holly's actually going to post this stuff now.
Yeah, but I think she posts on hers as well.
She didn't post it on hers, she just posted on the official. Scott said, with luck, he says, with luck, aliens, colonial marines, I know, not helping. Travis says, oh, tough choice, probably Fallout 3, although DJ Hero had some pretty decent tunes.
Yeah.
I vote against any kind of music-based
game. Well, we brought that up, it's like somebody goes, like, Beatles rock band.
Then yeah.
What the fuck?
Music-based games do not count, people.
Yeah, I have Beatles rock band, I even bought the one with the drum kit and all that, and he and I played it, like, one day. I love Beatles Rock Band, but I'm not going to count it because I have Rock Band 1 and Rock Band 2. They're great sounding. You got like Creep, you got Cherub Rock, all that stuff, you know. But I'm not going to count that.
Yeah,
I don't think you can count that as soundtrack. That's the game itself.
No.
Let's say Matt, who's been on the show before, says, cliche time, Final Fantasy VII. Didn't stay still on it. Travis says, Facepalm. Casey, who I'm about to meet here in a little bit, says, does Rock Band as a whole count?
Yeah,
fuck you, Casey.
Every time we go to a party at his place,
Rock Band, Guitar Hero, doesn't matter. All of them don't count, dude. The music is the game.
Yeah.
Dave Royce says Silent Hill 2. We actually brought that up.
Yeah, we brought it because I like Silent Hill 3. You actually
good soundtrack. Good soundtrack.
All those. I listen to them regularly. So.
Jenny says, I like the older Tony Hawk game soundtracks. Fair enough.
There's a lot of good music in them.
That's a lot of real music in those.
Yeah.
Will Doba from prior Tripcast episodes.
He actually replied.
He says the Elder Scrolls, specifically Morrowind.
Morrowind did.
Well, it's nice he had time to pull his dick out and write us a status update.
Kyle says F-Zero. And then Dale says Metal Gear Solid. I'm not sure which one.
Probably the PlayStation.
Probably the original PlayStation one was probably the best mixed.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I found, you know, just
that's kind
of
cool.
You know, just from the Skyrim, you know, soundtrack is that you can, if you've played from Morrowind on, you can kind of catch little
it's the
things.
Same stuff,
You know, so it's got the same sounds.
Yeah.
Just
different, different.
Well, it's just like the. That's the theme song for Skyrim, for Elder Scrolls, which it has become. That's one of those really like the second you hear it, you know it is. And have you seen that video of the two really talented girls who do violin And what's the other one? Is it violin and flute?
I think so.
Yeah, and they sit there and they just do game soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
Masterfully
yes.
redone. And they did, I think it's actually violin and cello. That's what it is, violin and cello. And they did...
Zelda?
And the cello player's really cute. She's a little dirty chick. But
they did Ocarina of Time, too.
Yeah, that's whatever. But Skyrim, though. When they did Skyrim, that was beautiful. That was
I gotta say, but if everybody thinks about hard enough, their default soundtrack's gonna be one of the Zelda games. It's going to be. I mean,
Ocarina of Time has
that's
some
a memorable
stuff.
Soundtrack. Yeah. I can hum that to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm about to start humming it now.
It just came up too.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that.
Yeah, Trent is over here just completely.
I'm in.
Completely destroying this. Ocarina of Time soundtrack for me.
Well, no, what I thought was funny is when they were talking about at the E3 thing, when they were talking about doing the Zelda Symphony World Tour thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to see that.
And he came out and he was like, you'll hear memorable sounds like this. And they do the whole chest opening. And then he says, and now you'll hear something like this as well. They do the chest opening.
It's funny because
again.
They say, they show
like,
the chest opening, you see the people on the violins, the cellos are furiously doing it.
Yeah. But
it's like, that's a lot of work
opening
chest.
I think they did the wrong sound, and he's just like, that was not the right sound. And you're like, ah, oh, fail. So, but Zelda, they have a lot of wins, so, it's Zelda. It'll always win. Unless it's, what was it, the Four Swords?
Yeah. Four Swords was...
Or Wind Waker.
I don't really like those.
I'm not a big fan of those.
Those were the kiddie ones. They redid those just because they felt like they were leaving the child audience behind for the most part. So.
Well, and I don't have a problem with that, but I like the adult.
Yeah.
God, people are going to hate on me for this. I really like Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess was really good. It wasn't bad. I mean...
It was good when you were playing it with a regular, like, GameCube controller.
Yeah, that's what I'm
playing. Playing it with the Chucks was goddamn near impossible.
Chucks.
I don't like motion controllers unless it's, you know, the Kinect.
Yeah.
So the Wii controllers just feel odd and wrong.
You know what I mainly use the Kinect for? Xbox Next Episode.
Yeah.
That's my main fucking thing.
I started saying the main thing I used it for was Liara, Singularity.
Yeah, I use it a few times when I'm playing Mass Effect, so I was doing it on Sandy mode, so it's just...
Yeah.
It's like the second. It's like I beat Mass Effect 2 on Insanity mode, so I was like, I'm fucking gonna start Mass Effect 3 on Insanity mode. And I went in there and I surprisingly beat the fucking game. It actually was not as hard as Insanity was not as hard as it was.
As it was in
Part 2. But they have a newer setting. They have a newer setting, which is like, I think Nightmare or whatever it is.
Fuck your mother mode.
Yeah, fuck your mother with the fucking spatula mode or something like that. And I haven't tried that one yet. I think that's one that the achievement's for, because Insanity is now like it's still just like Insanity, but the next one's even worse. And that one, I tried to, as I was doing Insanity, get used to doing the voice commands, because I know in that one I'm probably going to have to scream out a few things, like Liara, cover.
I was
going to
say, my girlfriend's a big Mass Effect fan, so she was playing it one day, and I was just sitting there just like, Liara, warp.
Yeah.
She's like, damn it.
Yeah.
Probably the only worst part about that is every once in a while the AI would do something stupid and you just want to go, Liara, suicide.
Yeah. Well, I was playing Binary Domain, and the way that one works with the Kinect is it actually picks up everything you say and it can recognize curse words. And that's one of the best parts. So if you're playing and you got your group with you, and you're just like, motherfucker! And one goes like, sir, that's not the appropriate time for that type of thing. And you're like, what's even worse is when you get really mad and you tell them to charge, because that's one of the commands you can give is charge, and they treat it like it's a foul word. And they're like, I don't think that's the appropriate thing right now. And you're just like, fucking charge! I'm your fucking commander! And then they go like, I won't stand for that type of language. You're like, fucking charge!
That sounds like, and if nobody's ever seen it, just go to YouTube and search for iPhone Scotland. The most hilarious shit you will ever see. Yes.
Yeah.
He's sitting there talking to Siri and he's like, I want a Jammy Dodger or some other fucking sandwich and a beer and Goldschlager. And it will not recognize any one of them. So at the end of it, he's finally like, look here, you fucking cow. Nice. Forget the gold saga. Forget the beer. Just give me my goddamn sandwich. Can you give me that?
It says dilate. All right.
And it says, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. And he just goes, fuck, and throws the phone across the room. It's beautiful.
Nice. Nice. Oh, my God.
It's about like me playing End War.
I love the idea of voice rec. At the same time, I hate the practice of it. Like, have you ever tried to use
it, especially people like us with deeper voices. Yeah, it hates our voices.
Have you tried to use a dragon?
That
thing is just, I mean, sometimes if I talk like this, it sometimes works really well. But I don't want to write, you know, college papers like that. You know, it's like, it sounds weird.
Yeah.
Right. You know, college papers as a bitch.
Yeah. And it's just a pain in the ass. But it's like, if I talk normally, it'll start off fine. Yeah.
Then again, I imagine Rex has zero problem with it because his octave is so much higher.
Yeah.
Ripping on him while he's not here.
Yeah, I think Holly probably has like less success than Rex when it comes to it. But now the phones are the worst ones where you say, you know, dial mom. And it just starts calling somebody, and you start yelling at it even more. It's like dialing mom. That's why dialing somebody else.
That,
and you're like, fuck! And you swerve your car, and you just like start
pushing the phone. That's probably been the biggest thing for me for like the last couple days is teaching my phone cuss words again.
Yeah.
You know, teaching protective text to cuss is probably one of the most frustrating things you will ever go through.
Yeah, but anybody who's been on a Mac long enough, the speaking thing,
because
you can train it. The best thing about Mac, like OS, is that you can actually change your error messages, so that when an error message pops, it's really easy to do as well. It's not anything that's coding. Like, you just find your system stuff, and you can say, if this happens, tell me this. And I had it set up to one time where it was going off like, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm such a fucking retard. I don't know how to open this program. And I forgot that it was my mom's Mac. It was my mom's computer. And she never used it. That's why I did it. And my brother-in-law was in town, and he was on the Mac. And he's this very Christian gentleman. And he tried to open a file type. And it was like, I'm sorry, I am too fucking retarded to open this file. And she calls me up, and she's like, what did you do to my computer? Like, what are you talking about? She goes, Robert was on it, and he was doing something, and the computer told me that it was too fucking retarded to open a file. And I was like, oh, I did that when I was like 18. Yeah, a long time ago. I'm sorry. You're getting a new one. You're getting a new one. Don't worry about it.
Never met.
So, yeah. But yeah, that was fucking funny. You can't really do that with PC. So that's one thing Mac has over PC. Just that, pretty much.
It's just a little harder to fuck with.
Yeah, but when you do, oh, it's so much fun. So, just go in and change everything.
You get those year-long, time-delayed jokes.
Yeah. So, okay, so that was the questions on there. Do we have any other replies on that?
Emails? No, just we asked me, though.
Okay, let's go ahead and go over the email.
Email.
When we bring new people on, we go on tangents.
It's all right. So,
hey, I'm not helping the tangent thing anyway. So.
I thought this was normality.
It is. He's just in a hurry to get to the bar.
Oh.
It's only 9:30, man.
Yeah,
he's already at the bar, though.
Yeah, but still, he's going to be there.
Yeah, he'll be there.
What is he drinking?
Hitting on some chick
or
something.
Just,
huh?
He shouldn't be drinking. His heart condition.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Are you being a bad fucking influence?
I am. Well, part of it is, so there was this bet that me and Casey had. Casey's somebody
that
we work
with.
You
could drink him before you got over.
No, it was, without saying too much of what we do, basically there's metrics, and I bet him that my metrics would be better that day than the other metrics. And essentially what happened is I had a bunch of guys that didn't know me that actually didn't beat his team. And the bet was originally, so we're going to have our team pick what we do to our beard, and we're going to be something fucking crazy. So if you do that, I'm explaining this horribly. So essentially, the winner was going to have their team pick what they do to their beard, or what they do to the other person's beard. And I threw in the caveat, and I was like, let them decide who they want to fuck with. Mm-hmm. He's like, I was like, yeah, let's just do it that way. I was like, I don't know how my guys are going to do. I was like, they may pick me, because, you know, maybe they just don't like me. I don't know. So anyways, 90% of his team picked him. to have him fuck with his beard, and they said he had to do the Hunger Games style beard, which they have. I don't know who it is. Is it that guy that looks like Dave Navarro that may be Dave Navarro?
The Game Maker. Fucking, yeah.
I never watched or read Hunger Games.
So. Well, I've fallen asleep for it like three times.
I never watched Twilight. So.
Anyways.
I have a wife.
Dude, when I had a girlfriend that came out, and I popped like 10 lore tab and told her to enjoy it.
Oh, dude.
I have a no vampire clause.
No, I don't have a no vampire claws, but my vampires definitely don't fucking sparkle. Yeah. So I fell asleep during those movies when my wife forced me to watch them.
I got an early release copy of it through a friend because my girlfriend wanted to watch it, and she asked me if I could get it from them. I said I'll ask, and they got it for me, and they also got me Watchmen. You know, and I was like, here's the deal. I have 10 lore tabs in this little box, and I have a DVD of Twilight. You're going to watch Twilight. I'm going to take 4 of these and go to bed. You wake me up when it's done. Well, fuck. And I'm going to take the others and pass out. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, and then I made her watch Watchmen. way before that, I got an early one of that. And it was kind of the same deal. She didn't want to sit through it. I'd already seen it in the theater. So she just kind of zoned out. And I watched that. And then we fucked. So
anyways, kind of what I was getting at. Was he lost the bet, so he's got his beard shaved that way.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls on his team painted his beard pink. So he's up at the bar looking.
With a pink beard.
At the Irish pub.
Looking
like a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's why I got to meet him.
Trying to hit on chicks.
No, he's got a girlfriend. He's had a girlfriend for a
while. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's not all over the place now. He's not painting the walls.
No. Right. No, he's a more responsible adult these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, email
what Ian said.
Good call.
Yeah.
So he says, to the nasty one, the Trenelope, the Drunkosaurus Rex, the coldest, hottest badger ever created by Banner Badger, the Holly Badger. Kissing ass. So, okay, so if you could have any celebrity comedian for some... for a special version of Left 4 Dead 2.
He said foursome.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He said, okay, so if you could have a celebrity... or comedian foursome for a special version of Left 4 Dead 2. Who would you want the team of four to be?
Is this Left 4 Head or Left 4
Dead? Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Head.
Yeah. Left 4 Head.
He says, I'm taking Bill Murray for a better version of Bill. Patrice O'Neill, may he rest in peace. David Cross and Sarah Silverman.
David Cross?
That throws me off, too.
Sarah Silverman's one of the players. We get kind of old after a little while.
Yeah.
She started picking up dead zombie arms and playing. I'd end up shooting her. She's fuckably hot, but I would end up shooting her after a while.
So he says, I feel like the game would be hilariously awesome with the cast again. Cleveland.
But, of course, she's pretty comfortable around, like, pasty dead white things. I mean, she fucked Jimmy for a while. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'd pick.
To be honest, I would think that female role, hands down, it would be hilarious to see the robot that is Joan Rivers now in Left 4 Dead 2.
With that voice, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that nasally-ass fucking voice. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, I know who I should pick for the girl. Okay, I have to time travel because it has to be Lori Petty as Tank Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, her kicking zombie ass and the nice hot little outfits with the shade. Yeah, that would just rock.
Why am I having to think about this? Rusty?
I would fuck more than I would kick zombies.
I'm as dumped as you. I'm sitting here thinking, who would I want to put through that? All of them.
I'd say Billy Connolly for Bill.
That Irish prick accent.
Yeah.
Say, who would I do for Lewis?
Okay, I got all mine. Okay. Lori Petty as Tank Girl, definitely. Anthony Hopkins as Bill, just because that would be fucking... No, I take that back. No, yeah, Anthony Hopkins as Bill. Liam Neeson as Francis, because you know that if he's around, you're not going to die. It's Liam Neeson. He'll keep you safe. And then for the black guy, because there has to be a black guy, Ving Rhames is in every zombie thing, so I'm not going to pick him. He needs to give it a fucking rest now. I would probably go ahead and swap out the black guy for a Hispanic and go with Danny Trejo. Just because all three of those guys
I want Danny Trejo.
Wow.
You can have Danny Trejo. This is I got mine.
Okay, so I'm going to say Billy Connolly. Say Billy Connolly for Bill.
Yeah.
For Lewis, I'm going to say, who's the Old Spice dude, the black guy that's...
That's Terry...
He did say Left 4 Dead 2, though, and you're doing Left 4 Dead 1 characters, and he did, too. He did, too. So...
Yeah, he confused us. Okay, well, the guy you're thinking of is Terry...
Well, he can be coach. Fuck,
what's his last name? I always forget his last
name. Yeah, he's in Expendables.
Terry Crews as coach.
Terry Crews. Terry Crews as coach. He'd be a more leaner coach, but yeah, that would work.
I would definitely say, who's the dude in the suit? I forget his name.
Dude, I would totally...
I would totally go Christopher Walken in that.
Edward Norton.
Just,
Edward Norton.
It looks like Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Say, Nick is Edward Norton. Okay. Edward Norton is my Nick. The black guy, coach would have to be Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac would be
hilarious. Rest
in peace, my friend.
Or even Samuel Jackson.
I'd go Woody Harrelson for Ellis.
Ellis
has an accent for it.
That's a good combo. Actually, Edward Norton could pull off Ellis as well, because when he plays a hick, he does a good job at it. So I'm kind of torn on. So I'd actually have to swap that out.
For Rochelle.
Who do you want to have killed? She's the one who always dies. So
Janet Jackson.
I feel like Halle Berry or something like that.
There we go, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry or
for Storm.
Just don't speak.
Yeah, just get some payback for Storm.
Yeah.
Or
Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy. Yeah. Okay. I got one. Okay. Edward Norton would be Ellis because he does a better redneck than anything. I would pick Bernie Mac for coach, preferably non-pneumonia. I would pick... can I get two Edward Nortons? I would pick... swap. Take that back. Sam Rockwell as Ellis. Sorry.
Oh, God damn you.
Sam Rockwell as Ellis. Bernie Mac as coach. Edward Norton as Nick. And Rochelle would have to be... Who's that one bitch? I always forget her name. She was in the movie Strange Days, and I always forget her damn name.
As three people, IMDb this.
Yeah. Look up Strange Days, and it's, she played Macy.
Keep going.
Angela Bassett?
Yes, Angela Bassett, thank you. Very strong, dominant black woman role who can kick a man in that one. She plays a limo driver who like kicks the shit out of people constantly. She's awesome as crap in that. So Angela Bassett is my Rochelle because she will not get downed.
I put Liam Neeson in the role of Nick. He could work.
Big age difference there, but yeah.
Okay. So my rundown: Terry Crews for coach. Okay. Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. He's got the size.
Yeah.
I'd definitely go... I'd still go Edward Norton as Ellis. It fits. What's his face from... from The Hangover? Cocky suave.
Yeah, the lead one. In that movie, Limitless. I forgot
his
name. Yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
from Limitless as Nick.
Yeah,
and,
he would work as Nick.
Jada Pinkett Smith is Rochelle.
There was another Nick, I thought, of a guy that would do it. That's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban would do a good Nick.
Yeah, he played Bones on the
You're
new
You're thinking
Star
of Bradley
Trek.
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper,
yeah, Bradley
that's
Cooper,
it.
Yeah, but,
yes.
But Carl Urban, he's playing Judge Dredd in the new movie, and he also played Bones in the new Star Trek. He would make a good Nick.
He would.
He was also in one of the first ones I've ever seen him in was Chronicles of Riddick. Forgot his name. One of the main antagonists who ends up not being an antagonist at the end. But anyways, what's yours?
Every time I thought of a name, you guys just use it in yours. So.
you stuck you at the end.
You
can go Peter Griffin for coach.
I don't know.
Leslie Nielsen is Nick. So you got a wide variety of people still left. Horrible actors. But yeah
horrible actors. That's the problem.
What about Tommy Lee Jones, man? You could throw him. He's not really a badass.
He could do Ellis.
Actually, I was thinking more of like when he was younger, he could do Nick.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'd...
He just goes all old school actors. Be like Jack Palance for...
Yeah. Well, I was going to say...
Sammy Davis Jr. for coach.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, what's his name? Goddamn. Brolin. Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a badass, number one. He's a big, tough guy. Same with, well, he's usually, when he wants to play a badass, he can, and that's Ryan Reynolds. Like, when he did the horror remake, he was fucking tough as shit. Then every other movie, you look at him, you're like, you look like you're 12. What the fuck happened to you?
That's why I can't wait to see him as Deadpool. Just saying.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. He's got the personality for it.
I'm going to tap out. Because you guys just took everything that I was going to use.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Not really.
I know.
Dude, I could do like 8 more of these.
We got another question coming up here in a little bit anyway, so we'll save it for then.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of these. Go ahead.
Me?
Now, is there more of his...
No, that was it.
That's all of his?
Yeah.
All right.
That's all we wrote so far.
That was a pretty good one. So we did both games.
Yeah.
But who would play the spitter? I say Courtney Love.
I say someone that's a quitter.
Yeah, so Courtney Love.
Courtney Love, hands down for the spitter.
Or Charlize Theron in Monster could definitely play the spitter. She looked pretty gross in that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning for the witch.
Who's that skank that's in Black Snake Moan?
I used to think the same thing about Christina Ricci, because that's who that is.
Yeah.
Black Snake Moan, I
that movie's kind of funny in a weird
watched,
way.
I know, I've watched Christina Ricci, and I talked about this at work the other day with Holly and Vanessa, and I was like, you know, I watched this movie the other night that had Christina Ricci in it. It was a newer movie. I was like, you know, there was this time when she was younger, when she was playing Wednesday Addams, because she's about my age. And I was just like, you know, really pretty face. She stood out. And as she got older and she did something like Fear and Loathing, and she kind of got kind of trashy and so it didn't look that good. And then she did like a Black Snake Moan, and you're just like, ah. That's on this new movie. And she's all like clean cut, really pretty now once again. And that was Bucky Larson.
It was horrible.
I know, but Christina Ricci was fucking hot as shit in it. I'll give it that. That was the first time I thought she's been hot in quite a while.
Since Adam's Family?
Well, no, she was like young as shit in that. That's gross.
Hey, hey, dude.
You were young,
dude,
too.
I was around her age at that time.
Yeah, I know. I thought she had a really pretty face. And this is the first time in a long time I thought she had a pretty face again. I was like, wow, she actually looks really cute. And she doesn't look fucking disgusting as shit. So I was like, I would actually date that chick. She looks pretty. And I was surprised. So I can't call her skank anymore.
I still will.
But Courtney Love, I can. Skank. I think that the People versus Larry Flint, the way she went out in that, is kind of going to end up being a prophecy. Dying of AIDS in a bathtub.
That movie's really good.
That is a good movie. Woody Harrelson did a really good. I was surprised they put him in that role, but he did a really good job. And I miss seeing Woody Harrelson in a lot of movies, so hopefully Zombieland 2 will come out sometime soon. So,
Zombieland 2, The Quest for More Twinkies.
Pretty much, in 3D.
Because everything's fucking released in 3D now.
Yeah, well, it'd be funny if they had a Twinkie the Kid zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Woody Harrelson's like torn between kicking its ass. He's like, I can't do it. Yeah, that'd be funny. Anyways, I'm just more interested in seeing Emma Stone make a comeback in that, because Emma Stone's fucking hot.
So, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, that was really nice. But anyway, so that was Ian's. That was a good question, Ian. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and jump into, I guess, our question for next week. We're going to actually figure that out right now on the air. Do we want to do something RE related?
I'm going to let you pick, Trent.
You got this look. I say we go, because I am kind of perturbed by all the bullshit press that Resident Evil's getting. I think, because, I mean, a lot of these game reviewers were giving it really great props before it came out, and then this other slew of game reviewers came out as soon as it released and just started trashing the shit out. I'm like, so where's the difference of opinion? Is it that you played 4 hours of it, and they played the entire fucking game? Because you run into that so often, like with Halo. Halo Reach is a fucking 6-hour game. No, it's not. That reviewer fucking lost everything for me. I was like, fuck you at that point, because that game's actually fucking 12 hours.
One of the things that we run into with us being basically full-time job people, but running a video game podcast, we used to do a lot more reviews, and we found out, Jesus Christ, this takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's really hard for us to get through an entire game before another game comes out, and so we end up doing most of the review on here or we got some ideas for getting more reviews out. But yeah. It's one of those things we really have to pick and choose. And these guys don't have that. They have the luxury of sitting at home or wherever, the office, and playing games all day.
Yeah.
But
and so they half-ass it.
I think that people that are full-time game reviewers get jaded because they play some of the goddamn games.
Well, also, I think they just half-ass it. They don't even bother doing it. Yeah. They play like the first 2 hours and they go like, okay, I made up my mind.
It's like, okay, one big gripes, story convergence in six.
Yeah.
You know, did that guy only do half of two of the storylines? I mean...
So, it's like for me, the only thing that I'm going to see that might be negative about it so far is going to be that you have four stories crossing over each other.
Yeah.
And it's going to be some of this kind of a big mishmash of games. But I kind of look at it like this. So, if it takes me 6 hours to beat each campaign, it's kind of like... six Call of Duty campaigns or...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Modern Warfare. I mean, Battlefield 3 was fucking shorter than that.
Yeah, like 5 hours.
Dude, not even that. It's like 4 hours.
It was like 4 hours.
Yeah, I beat that fucking game in 4 hours on hard mode, and I was just like, you gotta be shitting me. Yeah, it looked great, but it's like, you know, based on all the Bad Companies and everything, it's like expected a much longer campaign. Because I love, you know, Battlefield Bad Company, like 1 and 2 are like two of my favorite games.
What was another game that was like...
But I think their big focus there was...
Multiplayer.
Yeah. Multiplayer expansion and the destructible environment.
Like Bad Company 2, like Battlefield 2... But yeah, Bad Company 2 had a massive multiplayer to it that was fantastic.
But the campaign was really fun.
Yeah, but they did not skimp on the campaign at all because they knew people really enjoyed it. Well, the story was great.
The campaign had... It almost felt like a buddy cop campaign. It really had... It had some kind of like real hook to it to me. I was involved with it. It wasn't the best story in the world, but I was really engaged the entire time.
Well, so I think Battlefield 2 is about gold. They were trying to get all that loot out that they had gotten, and that was the whole comedic part of it. Is they're trying to fucking get all this money out of there, and it was fucking hilarious. But it's like because of Battlefield 3, if they put out another Bad Company, I'm gonna be real hesitant to actually pick it up because I'm afraid it'll end up being a 4 hour campaign when that's my main allure as a steward for
the story. Well, it's hard for people to play a lot of RPGs to drop $60 on something that's 4 hours.
Yeah.
Even if there's a lot of... I mean, I know you guys play a lot of multiplayer anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for me and Trent, we have really different schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I have basically y'all schedule where it's kind of like half-ass day / night schedule.
Yep.
And it's hard to find for me people to play with, so I'll play some multiplayer, but I need a strong single player.
Yeah.
Those times when people aren't around.
I agree.
That's where Skyrim came in for me.
It's like Resident Evil. I mean, I like the idea of the co-op, but...
One of the games that I strive to play co-op with people. Like, anybody that wants to play that co-op, I'm totally down.
See, my problem with it is that I miss a lot of the story when I'm co-oping, because, you know, we're talking back and forth and stuff and all that, so I'm going to have to go back and play through Leon's again. Because there were a lot of story elements I missed while we were sitting there chatting back and forth about crap. And so I missed a couple things. I picked up the tail end of, but I didn't hear the first part. So I got to go.
Well, that's my bad. But
we were just talking back and forth. We were talking about the game. And so that's nobody's fault. But it's like,
well,
that's
so
why
I played
a game
with,
like that I prefer.
Well,
I played it with
Dave, and me and him showed up during all the story beats.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is that in that game, some of the story beats come out when you're just walking around and fighting zombies because you'll start talking back and forth. The characters will, and there's some things that come out during those that you kind of want to hear, especially with like Jake and Sherry, and then with Leon and stuff. There's a few things they were talking
about. Well, it's like if you're co-op in Borderlands with more people, you know, you end up missing some of those just little blurbs that just pop up that are just funny as shit, and you miss it.
Yeah,
well, that's the whole reason why I just kind of took off, but you know, we went with my Gunzerker my own way, I was co-oping. First night, release night, sit there for the first 2 hours. Funny shit's happening. I'm not catching any of it because there's three other voices going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I play the whole game single player. I did a couple areas with you just to kind of get a feel, but I just played it all by myself. And like, had I been playing with other people, I would have missed the funny-ass part where he wants you to go out and just kill boner farts.
Right.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't like the name Bully Long, and I don't like this name. Just fuck it, we'll call him Boner Farts. Go kill a bunch of Boner Farts.
And,
like,
and then when he comes back and says, oh, my publisher has decided that I cannot call them Boner Farts.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of shit that you'll miss even playing single player on that.
Yeah.
You know, some of the enemies, when they die, they say, shit. You know, I killed an engineer last night and says, tell my wife she's a bitch.
Yeah, or like, you know, don't loot my body.
Yeah.
Or the midgets just sit there and say the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
You kill them. It's like, ah! It's like, what the fuck was that? There is that whole "what's in the box" thing.
Right. Yes. What's in the box?
Yeah, the seventh thing. What's in the box?
There's the Skyrim tie-in.
Yeah.
And I used to be a vault hunter, and I took a bullet to the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it was a great little shit like that that kind of makes the game. It's a great game. So it's like, it's not just, it's a great game on its own, but it's also showing how it loves all these other franchises and it loves certain things and jokes about them as well.
Yep.
It's not just the humor value. I love how games can poke fun at themselves.
So what's the actual question?
Basically, it's like, you know, for those of you who have been out there playing Resident Evil 6 or looked at it, played the co-op, sorry, played the demo, stuff like that, you know, it's like, do you agree that this is an abortion of a game? That this should not have been made? It's a horrible idea. They fucked up everything. That's no longer survival horror, even though it hasn't been for fucking 12 years, 10 years. You know, what do you think?
Do you believe the hater?
Do you believe the hate? Or do you believe in preaching the love?
I don't know. Like I said, you kind of hear where we're sit. We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
It's not Raccoon City, I'll tell you that much.
It's way better than Raccoon City, Jesus Christ.
Raccoon City was fun for like the first run through, and that was it. So. Anyway, so other than that, we've got some, a little bit of news. You got any news?
I got plenty of news. That's why I kept trying to push
run
you
through. Run through it.
So, Skyrim DLC is still stalled on PS3.
Yay.
No real release date so far.
Yeah, wow. They just released the new DLC.
They just released Dawnguard on PC.
Oh, no, not Dawnguard. It was Hearthfire.
Hearthfire, yeah. Hearthfire,
yeah. Dawnguard's been out for quite a while on PC.
That's, yeah, that's what it meant.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have any news, Trent?
Justin's gay.
That is not true.
He's gay.
It's old news. Don't worry about it, guys.
No, I like that he's gay. This guy.
Yeah.
The back of his shirt has two thumbs pointing towards the back of him. And it just says, this guy. So it's kind of like this joke where you say, who's gay or who likes to fuck dead people? He goes, this guy. What does the front of your shirt say?
Oh, it's work related. It's work. Don't,
yeah,
don't
he's
even
got a big fat bitch.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a Minecraft documentary coming out in December.
We like blogs.
Yeah.
We wanted to make a game.
Done by an independent independent movie maker. Yeah. It's a Kickstarter project from Two Player Productions. So it's already surpassed its $150,000 target.
Nice.
It's already at $210,000.
Speaking of Kickstarter, there was one article that's not game related that I read that really got me happy. IMX. Chris Corner,
yeah,
from Sneaker Pimps, he wanted to finally do IMX 5. It's an untitled album right now, but he started a Kickstarter project for it because he said that he wanted to get everybody else involved, like all the listeners. And I think in 2 hours he made his entire production money.
Jesus,
that many people are just like, IMX, make your next album, make your next fucking album.
Well, Sneaker Pimps, dude.
Yeah, well, fuck Sneaker Pimps. Sneaker Pimps is okay. I like Chris Corner like 10 times fucking better. But he is also doing a documentary, blog documentary. Which is really interesting to actually see Chris Corner sit there and talk for a change, because he's one of the oddest fucking people in the entire world, and he's living in Berlin now, so that makes it even weirder. But yeah, go check that out if you don't know who IMX is. Great man.
As we said before, Resident Evil 6 has already shipped 4.5 million copies. That is not games sold. Jesus Christ.
Excuse me.
Party file.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
We'll see where final sales leave it. I know that people are either liking or hating on it, so I'm not really pushing for sales of the game. I just want people to give it a chance because I like it.
Yeah, well, I just get tired of people making really stupid fucking arguments about it, you know?
I'll give it a try. I mean,
yeah,
I already set my stance on that, but,
yeah.
You know, I'll give it a try because it looks cool.
When I first started, I was iffy. I was really iffy when I first started playing it. I was like, I don't know about this. And then I started getting, like, halfway through the first campaign, and it kind of sold me at that point. And I was like, all right, this is good. It's really over the top and really cheesy, just like any Sega game would be.
Right.
Because Sega is really fucking bad at that shit sometimes. And it has a lot of those very Japanese elements to it. The whole way Western America, you know, would be and stuff. You know, like the shades. You know?
Definitely give it the rent before listening to hater opinions, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other thing that's a huge news, Cliffy B. From Epic actually left Epic Games to pursue something different with his career.
Something other than Gears.
So, well, I mean, there's also Fortnite that's coming out.
Yeah,
some of the guys from People Can Fly, which is also part of the same people that did Witcher. Mm-hmm. We're going to be working with him in the future. So it's kind of different because Cliffy B's been doing that stuff since he was probably in his late teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Unreal and everything else. So pretty high level game designer. As much as people hate him for him being cocky, the dude has been an innovator.
He's got a lot of room to talk, is the thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's been involved in Unreal. He's been involved with Unreal Engine. He's been involved with a lot of high level development.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with on his own.
Yeah. Speaking of which, good piece of news. Doom 3.
Yes.
BFG redone edition. With the Rage Engine and the BFG
plus the Lost Mission Pack.
Yeah.
Lost Mission Pack.
That's coming up soon, too. Yeah. That's just a...
I think that's
at the end of this month?
Actually comes out on October 16th, so two weeks from now.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, $40, I think?
Well, I've got that. You know, I've got that on my list, and then at the end of the month, there's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
So...
Yep.
Yeah, which I think we might... maybe be doing another In the Field podcast for that live from GameStop possibly.
Yeah, they asked us to come back, didn't they?
Yeah, I talked to old girl and she said, hey, you know, you guys should come back and do another one, pick whichever game you want. So
I think it's got to be something kind of big.
Yeah,
it's like I really like, we talked about maybe Hitman won't be as big though. Hitman equally as much.
I love Hitman and it's one of those things where I love it. The reason I thought of Hitman was because you're going to see a decent amount of old school gamers out there,
right?
Picking it up for Xbox and stuff, and that would have been nice to get some older opinions of people who remember playing Hitman: Silent Assassin when it first came out, as opposed to where it is now, what it's become, and especially the story with, you know, Hitman pretty much being left for dead and pretty fucked. I love the entire funeral scene at the end. That's just awesome, dude. I chased that guy in the wheelchair down. I was just like, kept walking behind him. He was like, just bam, 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 bam. That's funny.
So I've got two more bits of news, and I'm out. Steam started to launch non-game apps. So Art Rage Pro Studio Pro came out. Camera Bag 2, Game Maker Studio, 3D Coat, 3D Mark Vantage, and 3D Mark 11 have released on Steam. Kind of a big thing for them.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And the last bit is Star Wars Force Assault is possibly coming to Xbox Live. It's not officially announced, but there's been a trademark filed for this as of last year.
Is that the one that people were kind of up in the air as if it might be a Republic Commando sequel?
I'm thinking maybe Battlefront. I'm not sure. But it's called First Assault so far.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be another Republic Commando. From everything I've heard about it.
That's one of my all-time epics.
To be honest, that is... Yeah.
Yeah, there's that one and Knights of the Republic one.
Yeah.
Those are my two
all-time epics. When it comes down to epics, something that's, you know, not necessarily completely new canon... You know,
Star Wars, it was the first to do a squad-based four-person game where it's your control of the entire squad.
Well, and it was the first real first-person shooter that you really felt good with. I mean, you go back, look at PC Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2, they were just kind of clunky.
Or like Rebel Assault, where I think Rebel Assault 2, where they actually had some elements where you go in as first-person every once in a while, and that just looked like shit. Because it's all very, very like a Karo shootout where just the stormtrooper keep popping up at the same spot.
The first thing everybody did with Dark Forces was they did it third person because the first person sucked. Yeah.
No, I would go on and play the multiplayer because there was like probably about a good 6 months where every work night I would come home and I was part of a Dark Forces clan called NDE, New Dark Empire, and I would buy NDE Kalistan. And I just fucking wiped the shit out of people because I had the Fremen skin.
Nice.
So I was dressed up in a stilt suit and I had the blue eyes and this nice black saber. It was a shaft saber is what they call it, you know. And I did that one thing where I just run right towards the person. I would jump over him and as I came down, do the wide attack, wipe the shield out, and kill him straight up. And I was just really fucking good at that game, man. I love this
show. So what you just heard Trent say was that he likes dark black shafts.
I like dark black shafts that hum. Justin's not laughing, so he's not amused. He's like, that happens to be a personal fave of mine. I don't like people poking
fun
at my hobbies. Like, he still doesn't know where it went. So it's just, it's lost inside of him, so... It's like the land. His asshole is like the land of the lost. Overgrown shrubs and shit. You got like fucking shoehorns up there.
He was the inspiration for Hillary. His ass was the inspiration for Hillary Clinton's cooch in South Park.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. No, his asshole was the inspiration of the droid ship in Star Trek. A bunch of white pale things flip around. Anyway, so let's go ahead and jump through into our upcoming releases.
I got some people waiting on me.
Yeah.
So next week we have XCOM, which I will be picking up.
Yes.
Trent will be picking up Dishonored.
I already got it pre-ordered.
Nobody gives a shit about Fable the Journey. Fuck off. Grand Revolution comes out on PC. Yay. On October 15th, we have Mark of the Ninja for PC. We have Doom 3 BFG, motherfucking awesome edition.
Yeah.
And then we have Silent Hill Book of Memories for Vita.
Yeah.
It's been out for a while.
Okay. Yeah, the last handheld Silent Hill they put out is not going to get me to come back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then furthermore, towards the end of the month, I don't see anything that's worth a damn.
Except for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that's a very, very good one.
Assassino!
Well, yeah. That's the only one that's...
Yeah.
So we'll get closer to that here soon, but...
Oh, quick question. Okay, wait. Did you like Assassin's Creed Revelations?
If you have to think about it...
Yeah. I think that all of the Assassin's Creed games are worth a play just to get the story. Yeah.
Right.
But...
It was the weaker...
Did that not just leave you with a set of blue balls for like 10.5 hours or whatever it was?
It was probably the... It was still an upgrade to the combat.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, it is the weaker game. Let's face it, the mini games suck.
It was a bridge game. It was a bridge game because they had left...
It should have just been a $30 DLC. Yeah. I'd have been a lot happier with it.
Yes, exactly.
But they left Altair so long ago, and Ezio is getting a little tiresome, so it's nice to see older Ezio in his twilight years. But even more important, you see Desmond locked in the Animus with the original patient, and at the end you have him... supposedly wake up, and he's at the
place. But you still don't know what happened for two, and that's what irritates the shit.
That's what irritates, but that's why I said it was a bridge game. It was a little too long to be a DLC. Mm-hmm. A full-out expansion, yeah, but then you'd be paying $30, which I'm still fine with that. But for a bridge game where they just wanted to throw in as much story as they can, which I think is what it was, they were trying to put in as much extra story to say, we fucked off and didn't tell you all about this other shit in Constantinople that we need to fucking tell you, so we're going to make this game, put in a little bit of shit, and then just wait. You'll get your fill on the next one. I think that's kind of what it is.
I think it was really looking at all the previews for Assassin's Creed 3. It was really a test platform for everything they were going to do with environment.
Yeah.
You know, as far as expanding it, making it bigger, making things more interactive.
It felt like Brotherhood. It acted like Brotherhood. It was Brotherhood 2 to me.
Yeah, but Brotherhood was a better game.
But, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's just basically they had a lot of story they wanted to cover before they jumped into...
They had to explain to you what happened to Altair.
Yeah, because if they didn't... They would have fucked them. They would have shot themselves in the foot because by the time 4 came out, you would be lost, or they'd have to spend more time going into backstory, which kills your gameplay. And if they had to go ahead and do another side shoot game, then they feel like they're fucking you over by putting out another game that's not a number game. So they just did one, Revelations, to kind of show everything.
It should have been 2 DLCs to Brotherhood and just call it good.
Alright. Well, that's going to be the end of our episode, so Justin can get his man boner on with a guy with a pink goatee, because that's what he's really chasing for over there.
He's been waiting for an hour.
It's pink like a pussy. So, if there's a little pink, Justin's game. So, so you hear that, Grandma? Anyway, so our question for next week is, did Justin get any from Casey? Is actually, what do you think of RE6?
Believe the hate?
Yeah, do you believe the hate, or do you believe the hype? So, oh, that was gay. That was gayer than Justin. All right, so let's catch up into this. I'm giving him shit because he's in such a rush. So our gauntlet is going to be this weekend, and we're going to be doing some Resident Evil 6, but also some RE5 for those of you who can't afford to grab it or just didn't want to, but still love the RE5. So
we just want to hang out. So either of us have it. So we'll jump back into that if you want to play.
Yeah, most definitely. So and
check out me right there.
Yeah, so. So you can jump in and play with us on RE5, RE6, whichever. Whichever. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
10 p.m. like, Central Time Saturday.
Like, I can't think. It's been a long day. So, with that, we're going to do our shout-outs.
Shout-outs to friends of the show. We have the CarouselPodcast.com.
Pay us to mention them.
We have Elseworlds Podcast with fellow people that work with me and Jason.
Filler people is pretty much... Yeah.
Filler.
No, he's filler.
No, I know. Jesus. I know two of them.
We're talking about the Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy. Yes, the Jesus. Jesus.
The Jesus.
Jesus came in him.
Jesus is behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. He always tells me he loves me.
You remember, Jesus thinks you're special, but everybody else thinks you're an asshole.
And but Jesus really just wants to go around touching tip.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, we also have For the Love of Gaming. We have BMFcast.com and NoQuarters.net. And then last but not least, we have TVGP.TV. They do good things. And also, find us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Tiltcast, Facebook.com/Tiltcast. We have us at Tiltcast.com, on Stitcher, search Tiltcast, and on iTunes, subscribe, rate us, and review us. And am I missing anything?
No, I don't think I was in the other room. So okay. I don't know what the fuck he said.
Oh, yeah. Email us at teabag@tiltcast.com and search our YouTube channel for when we actually post things.
Yeah.
So, ask the real Tiltcast on YouTube.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode, so.
Yep. I'm going to get my drink on.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Oh, it was fun.
Twice.
Enjoyed it. So.